The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, let's get down to business.
Can you dig it?
You dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
Can you dig it?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the queue. Of course, my name is Mark Bland, and we've got another shooting in a movie theater, and the NRA can't defend this one. Alex Rodriguez is dealing with some issues. We are going to discuss that. Two police officers get off of murder where the videotape tells another story, and we are graced once again with Mr. Dan Walking Flying Reality Walsh, because he wants to talk a little harder-hitting stories, so we appreciate that. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is The Queue. My name, of course, is Mark Bland, best moderate liberal political radio show west and east of the Mississippi Rittier. He's from the Rittier. Hailing from the great city of St. Louis, Missouri, the gateway to the west. And if you guys want to check out anything about our show, make sure you check it out at theqnow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, please welcome back. Applause, please. Dan Walsh.
The Polar Vortex!
Yes. Speaking reality, flying reality. Here to tackle some hard issues.
Yes, yeah.
I'm not the average political correspondent. I'm kind of just that everyman. So hopefully I can add some level ground info and maybe a little bit of stupidity.
No, I appreciate it. I think it was great. We had one of our highest rated shows with you on it last week when I got the call and you said, hey, I loved being on. I'd like to come on again. But next time, is it possible that we could do a little bit more harder hitting stuff? Like, I'd like to talk more like that Chris Christie stuff. And I was like, yeah, dude, definitely. And if you want, I've got an opening tonight. We were just going to do me and Bobby, but you know, hey, you're more than welcome. And so here you are sitting with us, hanging out. And first off, I got some housekeeping that I want to get to. You know what I'm saying? Did you have a question?
No, I just wanted to, he didn't want to talk about pro wrestling, but I did want to talk about two big stories that happened this past week.
Okay, we're not going to talk about anything that has to. First off, we know your wife's pregnant. We already know that.
No.
And we know the WWE has a network.
No. Well, the network is just getting better and better.
Wait a minute. If your wife was pregnant with the WWE network.
That might be sweet.
That'd be the single greatest news story this
week. We could make that part of the reality show that we're going to be doing. It would be amazing is what that would be. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, a little housekeeping. First off, Dan, how's your week been, man?
You know what? It's been pretty good. Pretty productive.
Nothing?
You ever have those weeks, man, where, you know, there's people out there.
Are you on autopilot? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm just not in that place where I think people are good.
Okay.
Kind of a deal. Like, so that's probably
why. It's just a little bit of a stressful week.
It's one of those where there's a lot of times when people are like, oh man, deep down people are good. And this week's been kind of like, I'm not so sure. I'm really not so sure. So
I think you're wrong about that.
Hopefully it's going to take a turn for the better. I think a lot of it is your own mentality. But I definitely am realizing I've seen my reaction to certain situations to where they would normally be maybe here on the sane side.
Right.
And they're starting to just be a little bit more insane.
Yeah.
Which could be entertaining.
You know what it is? I think it is as you get older, you start to recognize things. You start to read into things a lot easier.
Yeah.
Because you understand where the person's coming from or the things that are happening around you. Excuse me. My goodness. And so with that, I think that, you know, it kind of jades you. Like, when you have those moments, it starts to jade you a little bit. You don't feel like you're in your spot. You're not lining up in the grooves. Yeah. You feel off kilter a little.
I can be, you know what, at one point, I can be the world's biggest positive thinking hippie. I can be like, oh man, there's nothing wrong with this person. I'm so on the Buddhist side. And then I can just completely turn it around and I can become communist Russia.
Right.
I can go that far.
You can start pushing girls' faces into the ground while you're taking their virginity.
I can giving them rug burn.
On their face.
Donkey punching. All it's going to go nuts.
FCC. Wow. All right. Yeah, that happened.
I mean, by that, like, there was a video where
there's
the donkey.
Yeah, boxing donkey. Yeah, I understand.
They're stubborn. You got to get them to move forward somehow.
Huge show last week with you on it. Like I said, I've gotten a lot of great response from it. Christopher Walken showed up on the overtime. That was really fun and stuff like that. So, Bobby, how has your week been?
My week was awesome.
Okay.
Right. God, it was amazing.
What happened? It was so awesome.
Well, one of my all-time favorite professional wrestlers has been announced that he's going into the Hall of Fame this year.
The Ultimate Warrior?
The Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, that was kind of a big announcement the other day. But there was already rumors that was...
Yeah, but it was just cool to finally have it.
official. What else? Anything else?
Just getting stuff ready. We're getting ready to move this next weekend. And then we will find out on Friday next week what kind of baby we're having.
Boy or girl?
I hope it's a human being.
No, it's going to be six figures.
What kind is it going to be?
Is it going to be a human being?
It might be an octopus. We don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm really hoping for a boy.
I've had myself a very entertaining week, but I want to do a little housekeeping. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mark likes to do his little rants. I didn't really do my rant last week, so I'm going to start the show off with one of my some of my things that I want to talk about. Let's do a little housekeeping here, and you guys can chime in if you hear something that you know perks your interest.
Okay,
but let's talk about this. You know, this week, I don't know if everybody noticed, but St. Louis once again made a top 10 list of horrible things. You know, we're constantly getting on these lists for horribleness, like whether it's capital of murder or, you know, worst place to go visit or whatever. Or like I saw one last year that was for the worst place to retire to. Wow. St. Louis keeps making these lists, and I might even have to stand up to say this, okay? Because you guys are not going to like me. Bobby, where does my favorite baseball team play? Boston.
Boston.
Where's my favorite football team play? Actually, that's a trick question. It's actually
St. Louis.
Yeah. Where's my favorite hockey team play?
Philadelphia.
That's right. Only one of those things, and it's the worst of all the teams that's here. Only one of those things is the one that I love from St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
St. Louis, I'm going to hip you to something. You have three men sitting in this room, and these men might not agree with me because they're born and bred here and they love their town. I don't love you as much. And it's not that I don't respect you, St. Louis, but here's the thing. These lists are constantly being made up by people who don't live here. They don't visit here. They have nothing to do with the St. Louis area at all. And they turn around and they still put you in the top five of a horrible thing on these lists. What does that tell you? Because all I hear from you St. Louisans and these people in the Midwest is, well, they just don't understand. They just don't get it. It's them. It's not us. But there's no way that every single one of these people living in New York, in Orlando, in LA, and everywhere else is just getting this crap information fed to them to put you on these lists. At some point, you might have to step back from the mirror and take a full view of yourself and go, maybe it's here. Maybe we aren't as cool and as kosher and Midwestern and nice as we say that we are. Maybe we are passive aggressive. Maybe we do kind of have that attitude. Maybe, you know, one of my favorite things to say about St. Louisans is that the minute you don't agree with a St. Louisan in their opinion, you're immediately their enemy. It's not that you have a difference of opinion. You're immediately their enemy. You're immediately not willing to work with me. Because you just have a difference of opinion. Do you see my point? And I don't understand why they have this mentality. I don't have this mentality. That's why I don't really consider myself a St. Louisan.
Right.
I'm born here. I'm bred here. I lived here. I'll probably die here. So technically, I am a representative. But think about that. Every person, Dan Walsh himself, every single one of them has had to leave the St. Louis area to make a name for themselves to come back. Because you can't do it here. The people won't let you make a name for yourself. Now, you can go become famous somewhere else. John Hamm, come back, and everyone loves you. Everyone's your buddy. Everyone's your best friend.
John Goodman.
Brad Pitt.
All of them. Every single one of them left. Hey, Dan Walsh. MTV's not based here. Dan Walsh left. He went to MTV land for a while when he came back.
But in defense, they came and got me for that groundbreaking television
program.
Do
I get to count, though?
No.
Do I get to count in that? Because I started my radio job here.
Right, but you're not famous yet. But you're on the queue. You're already stepping up heavily.
Absolutely.
You're my hero.
From that place.
I think I am. This is the thing with St. Louis, plain and simple. I agree with what you're saying in a lot of aspects. I'm born and raised here. And I think a lot of people that love St. Louis are in love with their memories that they have growing up because you make the best of any situation.
Of course.
St. Louis at one point had a lot of great resources, had a lot of great things back in the day. Over these years, this city is deteriorating. Businesses are leaving. Crime is raising. If you go to other cities, you can tell. Okay, for example, if you go to Chicago, you can go to the city of Chicago. You can walk blocks upon blocks. You can go see numerous things. You come to St. Louis. What are you going to tell somebody to do? Hey, I'm in St. Louis for a day. What do you...
Zoo? You got to drive 15 miles that way.
The zoo? Yeah, and then go to the zoo. You can go to Busch Stadium. Don't walk four blocks, you know...
Any direction.
South, But, you know, you can go here, spot areas, and really they're nothing that's that unique.
We got this amazing place called Crown Candy Kitchen, but don't step outside the front door and walk a block away in any direction, right, or you'll get shot.
And here's what's sad about it is like, the Midwest, St. Louis, this is not the first time. If you look back in history and the development of the United States, St. Louis misses the boat by about that much in a couple different occasions. First off, with the railroads and the moving of cattle.
We could have almost been the state, the national capital.
We were supposed to be Chicago at one point, yep, and we elected to stick with the boats instead of with the railroad, and we missed the boat there. Yep. No pun intended. And also with our highway systems, which are now starting to change it a little bit, but like you're watching businesses move to Kansas City, because they have highway access to almost anywhere in the United States. You can only go to certain areas coming out of here. We've kind of limited ourselves as far as accessibility to everybody. Our airport, for some reason, is extremely expensive to fly out of. I don't know if that's changed in the last year.
No,
but for what? Because we are located in the center of the United States. I get that, but we're not offering enough to be giving some of the restrictions that we're
getting. We're trying to expand. And, you know, I have a friend who just moved to L.A., and I've, you know, her big thing was similar to what you're saying, Dan, is, you know, there's a lot of things that we used to have that we don't have anymore, and you can't really be excited about a whole lot of things.
I don't know what
we
used to have that we don't have anymore, though. Like, I don't know what you're...
You used to be, all right, they used to have, I mean, being a kid, and maybe I just remember this from being young and the world just being so big and wonderful, but, I mean, it seemed like there was a lot more stuff going on in Forest Park. There was a lot more, you know what I mean? There's a lot
Louis
more
St. Louis used
events
to be a thriving kind of place. Like, there's not a lot, I don't think, a whole lot of stuff going on.
I think
on.
That that's we where that goes, though. That comes from my point of view, which is, it's not the location, it's the people in the location.
Well, we're also sitting, you got to understand, sociologically, look where we're at, okay? And I don't want to blame it completely on that, but because we're not this huge point of industry like we used to, and we don't have the money circulating that others
do. We want to be Chicago so bad, but we're not.
But we're still sitting right there in the middle of the most laid-back part of our country in the West Coast and the most aggressive in the East Coast. So you hit that, and you hit it right on the head. Thus comes the passive aggressiveness. Yeah. We have the aggressive mindset, but not so much the demeanor. So... Everybody kind of has this like, leave me alone. I'm just going to do what I do. This is my routine kind of mentality. Nobody wants to really try and open up and see what else is out there. It's kind of like if they feel like if they do that, it's betraying St. Louis. And if you ever hear anybody that is a St. Louis enthusiast, they're always talking about what historically St. Louis did.
Exactly.
Right. Absolutely.
You know, look at Dredd.
They're
look
never
at Dredd
talking
Scott
about
case.
Our current event. They never talk about our current time period, and they never look back within the last 10 years in a fond way other than, hey, the Cardinals won the World Series in 2006. That was awesome. That's the only thing they mention. Two World Series wins. That's it. They don't talk about anything else.
But see, here's another thing, too, is when I was in Dallas back this past summer, there's not a lot of Dallas that looks like St. Louis. And what I mean by that is we have a lot of buildings in our downtown area that used to be, there was a show a couple years ago that actually focused on St. Louis, and it talked about some of the amazing things that happened here. But these buildings are dilapidated and look like crap, and people are sitting there drawing graffiti on it. The buildings are collapsing. We don't care enough, and that's the problem with St. Louis is people are in this state of mind where they're more worried. They're very selfish here in St. Louis.
Guys,
and only worry
guys,
about
I'll games. Break it down even more simply for you. I'll put people on blast. I don't mind. You know why Mark Bland doesn't mind to put people on blast? One, I'm 6'4", 250, and trained to fight. I don't care. Two, second, third, whatever you want to call it. Literally, I'll burn a bridge because in most cases, I'm self-made in every aspect. This show, self-made. In most things that I do, I'm self-made. I've gotten these things all on my own. My wrestling career was self-made. The show is self-made. My TV shows were almost, except for one, self-made. You know what I'm saying? So, like, right. I don't mind putting people on blast. The St. Louis media complex, I'm putting down better numbers on downloads than your people at every station and all of you than you are pulling down on your Arbitrons. Sorry, I hate to put it out there like that, but yeah, I am. And no one's giving me my morning show. I'm not getting no calls to do no backups on anything. Like, stop it. That's ridiculous. You got talent right here and you don't want to use it. You come up with excuses why you don't want to use it. Then you'll turn around and just hire somebody else into these positions. So I'll put you guys on blast. And that's not a knock. I'm just using their talent and their ratings as an example. I don't have a problem with know whatsoever. They're good people in my book.
What's an Arbitron?
An Arbitron is a ratings
in the radio. It's a ratings book.
It's the ratings book for radio. That's basically like the Nielsen's.
And by the way, St. Louis is a top 25 market.
Where do they keep this Arbitron? Is it guarded?
It sort of is. They have people meters now.
Is there a dragon?
Yep.
I want to go get this.
We have to train.
It sounds epic. I didn't mean to cut it off. But it's like, because of the Arbitron. Like, I feel like every month people go to the Arbitron. And they all like pray to it and it glows and everything. And they're like, we must get in the Arbitron. Yes. Oh, Optimus Prime.
But no, that pisses me off. I'm sorry. Like, it's ridiculous when you're talented and you're not getting recognized for the talents Absolutely. That you bring to the table. I'm sure you understand what I'm saying, Dan. You've been down this road a little bit.
I'll be honest with you. And this is another thing as far as you just hit it on the head right there with entertainment. I don't consider myself the funniest guy in the world. I don't consider myself the most talented guy in the world. But with the short time that I was in Los Angeles, I went and did a couple of small time shows, and within a month was able to get on at the Los Angeles Improv, the Comedy Store. You know, places that have history. And there were those opportunities. Things are going on. People are getting picked up. Because
everyone here is afraid for someone else to be more successful than them because they think they'll get lost.
But there's no, out in Los Angeles, there is a lot of starving talent, but you know where else there is? There's guys that see dollar signs, and there's aggressive agents in that see dollar signs. They want you to be good because they want to make money off of you. Here, they don't want you to be good because you're competition and there's not enough money around.
And that's the problem. Like, guys, I'm sorry, my numbers are good. Stop ignoring that. If you want to make money, put good radio and stuff like I'm doing, that Dan's here and Bobby's here doing, put that on the airwaves. Let people get a hold of this and they will come.
Or, like, if you don't want Mark or Bobby, just get Dan Walsh.
Just get Dan Walsh. You know, reality.
Because I'm self-made, too. Only I've really done anything.
This guy is huge in the country of Georgia. I've told you this.
And Amsterdam. I'm like David Hasselhoff.
Jeez. Okay.
Get on the gravy train.
Oh, I want to move on because I got one more thing I want to talk about. Sure. I got into a huge Twitter war this week.
Uh-oh.
It literally was, I'm not even joking, something like 120 conservatives versus me. No one came to my defense because I don't need anyone to come to my defense. See, all the liberals that listen to my show and the moderates, they already know that I can kind of handle myself verbally, so they assume that I can just take that and type it into a computer also. Correct. In fact, the few that chimed in laughed about it, said, yeah, that looks pretty typical, Mark. Good job. And then moved on. Like, there was nothing for them to defend because they know I was handling myself. These people, some of these people, I'm not even going to get into their names. Some of these people... 2 and 3 Twitter accounts. You know why? Because they were getting banned. If you have a Twitter account and you're doing stuff so egregious that you get banned for it and start another one just to get that one banned too, once again, here's your sign. Maybe it's a little of you. Maybe it's not that guy's opinion politically just because he disagreed with you. Maybe you're just a lot of a... You know what I'm saying? You're like way over the top on people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe you just got some problems, and there's a lot of them. And I had the one guy, and this is what's really interesting. Okay, we're going to talk about this just for a couple of minutes because before we hit the break. So I was in this discussion with this guy who's a pro-gun guy. Fair enough. Dan, you're pro-guns, obviously. Loved guns.
Well, no, all right, but before you say that,
are you pro-gun?
I feel it's categorized a little bit different.
Are you pro-gun?
I am pro-gun.
Fair enough. All right. I don't want you to get misrepresented.
Yeah, I'm not that guy, but I'm not that guy that's like everyone should own and the government's going to come kill us.
I don't think that you're that. No. This guy is pro-gun like you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Like that over the top. I've got hashtags 2A, stuff like that. Like just ridiculous stuff that's ridiculous. 4A, 2A. Like they're just going out of their way to let everyone know. They got pictures of bullets as their profile picture and stuff. Like it's ridiculous, okay? So we get into this discussion. He asked me a question. I disagreed with it. And he goes, well, let me show you something. So he posts a picture, and it's a picture of this girl holding a sign up, and she's standing right next to a house, and on the sign there's this arrow pointing up at the house, and it says, this is my neighbor's house. My neighbor is anti-gun. This house is not being defended at all by any ammunition or guns whatsoever. I just want everybody to know. Okay, now, I see this sign, and I go, why do you have that? Like, what is that situation? Like, tell me about that. Like, where did that come from? He goes, oh, that's my daughter holding that sign up. That's in Montana where we live. That's my neighbor's house. I said, okay, all right. He goes, do you agree with that? And I'm like, well, I kind of break things down like in a 3-tiered system. There's the generalization of things, options to look at. And if anything pops a red flag on the generals, I stop there. and I focus on that first. I'm not even going to get into the other BS because you've already kind of broke the rules here. Then I go to the second level. Usually that's peripherals, tangent stuff. I was going to say the bad word. Tangent stuff. Basically, you know, things that are bumps off of the generals, as well as maybe some deeper seated little things. Then there's the deep, dark gray areas, the stuff where it's like, eh, it could go one way or the other. It's kind of perspective. And that's where really everybody gets into the arguments about stuff. Mm-hmm. I look at the situation. I go, I kind of disagree with this one. He goes, yeah, I expect you to. And I'm like, but it's not because of what you said. What you said was fine. And I understand that. But you're on your neighbor's property and you're standing on their property. Does your neighbor know that you guys were standing on his property with this sign? Well, no. He didn't know. It was me and my daughter. We went over there. And I was, okay, so that's a problem, man, because that's trespassing. Like, I'm not even going to get to your sign yet. We're just going to talk about the fact that you did that. Now, I can read what you're trying to do. You do this without your friend. He called him his friend. You, without your neighbor's permission, you come there, and then you basically point a sign at his house saying, hey, everybody, this guy's anti-gun. In your argument, it's going to be, I'm just trying to let everybody know that he's not protected and he needs to protect himself, and this is just my broad way to get around it. But the truth is that that's not really why you did that. You're a human being, and human beings get vindictive. What happened was you guys probably had a discussion. You didn't like his opinion of being anti-gun, right, because you're pro-gun, so you thought you were going to stick it to him a little bit. So this was your way to go over illegally, trespass onto his property, point a sign at his house, and basically let everybody know that, hey, this house is not being defended by a gun, when you could have just as easily walked away, not said a single word, continued to defend your own property and take care of your own life, and nothing would have changed.
Let me chime in on that from somebody who's not a complete nut job. I am pro-gun on the fact that I feel like if you want to own a gun, you should have that right. However, if you don't feel comfortable with guns, don't handle one. There's nothing wrong with that.
And the
you
neighbor
don't
isn't.
Have to have it.
The neighbor isn't.
And here's another thing. He may not be pro-gun, but is he pro-knife or nunchucks or any other way to defend himself? How about pro-dog? Just because you don't have a gun doesn't mean you're not defending your home. Not everybody wants to carry a firearm that could be dangerous. And I'm sorry, if you, there's nothing more dangerous than a person who is not comfortable with a firearm.
And imagine this. Had somebody been driving by who is of nefarious qualities, sees this happening from the road or something, and comes back later on with their guns to rob this family, he ends up shooting and killing the wife or a daughter or a kid or something like that. Before you know it, you know he ain't going to take claim for that.
He's not going to take claim for that. Me in front of his house with an arrow going, this house is owned by a moron. There's a lot of moron acts inside of it. And that pointing to the gentleman who did this to his neighbor, because that is so bitter. It doesn't even follow a point. That's something beyond guns. That's just his own mental capacity that's being questioned.
All right, what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen, is we're going to take a quick break here on The Q. You're hanging out with Dan Walsh, Walking Reality Dan Walsh, producer Bobby, as well as Mark Bland. Make sure you check out theqnow.com, old episodes, new episodes, the episode Pro Wrestling, great episode with David Shoemaker and his book Squared Circle. Found a little bit about Harley Race last week.
And Harley Race is pro-gun.
Yeah, he is definitely pro-gun after that.
We learned that too.
And we talked to Vaughn Johnson from Philly.com, so check out that episode. That's 152, as well as Dan Walsh was on that one. We're going to take a quick break here. It's bottom of the hour, and we will be back right after this. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q, of course. My name is Mark Bland, joined today by Flying Reality, Walking Reality, Sex Machine himself,
Polar Vortex,
Dan Walsh.
I'm huge in Georgia.
You're huge in Georgia.
And Amsterdam.
And Amsterdam. Little Nine Inch Nails, Terrible Lie to bring us back, as well as my main man, Bobby, producer Bobby, kicking in, buddy. How you been, man?
I love this song.
Terrible Lie.
Dude, it just made me so amp.
It's a great song, dude. I'm a big fan of this stuff, but... Hey, just to let everybody out there know, because I don't want to get into it, all you conspiracy theorists who listen to my show on the conservative side,
yep.
Benghazi, the Benghazi situation has concluded with finding out the famous stand-down orders that you guys can constantly complain about saying happened. They never happened. It was just a failure to heed warnings and miscommunication between the State Department as well as the late Ambassador Christopher that led to this situation. So there was no stand down orders. There was no nothing. It wasn't a conspiracy. Nobody was trying to just have people murdered over in a foreign land. That's not what the thing was. Obama wasn't against you. It's okay. He was just busy being president of the United States, doing his thing, which is what all presidents do. Because I understand that they, you guys see your TV shows and you love your TV shows. And TV shows, to me, they tell the truth. Like, we create these TV shows based off things that we find out through rumors behind the scenes, you know?
But drastically exaggerated. I'm sorry, like, I'll say this. As a military man that was in a combat zone that many people watched on television, not at any point did any of... And I had an up there clearance. I'm not going to... But at no point did I hear... President such and such wants us to do this. No, it was your generals, your ground guys. That's everything that's going on over there is procedurally getting done. There is no, I mean, I'm not one of those people. If there is, it's so deep. But I mean, not everything.
Everybody in your crew was just like, the minute they were like, listen, guys, we got latrine duty, and then we're gonna go out and we're gonna put a barbed wire. Oh, Bammy did it to us again.
Damn it, Obammy.
Oh my goodness, Walsh. Can you tell me what Obama did? Look at what he did.
I'm going to be honest with you. Nine out of ten times, if a guy is out there and he's doing his job, the last thing he's worried about is the electoral races back home as far as what conspiracies and stuff are going on. They're trying to get their job done. Those guys are, you know.
Yeah, I'm
going to
start calling him Obama.
Yeah.
I like that name, though. All right. President Obama.
Well, let's talk a little bit about this, guys. Do you guys know who Kelly Thomas is?
I have no idea who Kelly Thomas is. I do know what Kelly Thomas is. I just had a brain fart.
Oh. Kelly Thomas is a homeless man in California, Los Angeles, Fullerton, to be exact. And basically what had happened was it was caught on tape that he was being harassed by two police officers.
Okay.
They were asking him, as a homeless man, I guess, that there was some way, like the videotape never starts on why they interacted with him in the first place.
Right.
It starts with them interacting with him. And so anyway, these two police officers are interacting with Kelly Thomas. He's a homeless man. And he's like basically got big bushy hair and big old bushy beard, almost like Matt Kruger.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying? Just all like kind of like Jake Durden. Mm-hmm. Looks almost like Jake Durden if it was all bright red ginger style. Okay, you know what I'm saying? Okay. Literally.
Well, in that case, that explains a lot.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Answers questions.
Anyway, they're interacting with him, and on the videotape, you see that Kelly is responding to the things that they're saying.
Correct.
Now, let's read this little blurb here. An Orange County jury this past week found two former Fullerton police officers accused of killing a schizophrenic homeless man named Kelly Thomas not guilty. Manuel Ramonos and Jay Cicinelli were charged with striking Kelly Thomas with a baton and a stun gun in a beating that left him comatose. He died 5 days later. Ron Thomas, Kelly Thomas's father, said he was stunned by the verdict, saying that he'd never seen such a miscarriage of justice. Thomas also suggested that the federal authorities should look into this case. Ramos's attorney, John Barnett, told reporters these peace officers were doing their jobs and they did what they were trained to do. Orange County District Attorney Tony Rakakis said prosecutors would not pursue charges against the third Fullerton officer accused in the Thomas case. The officer's trial was pending. I don't intend to proceed with another trial when the two officers here were acquitted, he told reporters. The jury took less than a full day of deliberation to reach the not guilty verdicts. Rakakis told jurors the former officers had abused their authority on a July evening when they confronted Thomas. Ramos was facing second-degree murder and voluntary manslaughter charges, and Cicinelli was charged with involuntary manslaughter and excessive use of force under the code of authority. The incident, captured on a surveillance tape, was shown repeatedly during the trial, but each side drew different conclusions as to what it showed. Now, here's the problem. I've watched this entire tape, okay? Uh-huh. It goes on for a little while. But everybody knows the way that fights work. Everybody knows, like, me and Dan could get into an altercation, a talk.
Like, correct.
Like, start arguing with each other. Now, that's, if a police officer walks up, they're going to be like, hey, break it up, guys. Just go your separate ways. Now, let's say before the officers get there, a physical fist fight ensues. The first question out of their mouth is always going to be, who started the fight? Who threw the first punch?
Right.
Literally. Because that's where the assault comes in.
Correct.
Okay. If I threw a punch and hit Dan in his face, that's where the first assault shot was taken. Dan's not going to sit there and go, oh, it was me, man. I totally did it. I took it out, and I'm not going to sit there and go, no, it was totally me. I hit him first. The argument never goes down that way. It always goes down to...
I blame you in a second,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, it was him, and he's going to blame me. Now, when you got videotape, that proves who blamed who's right. Okay?
Correct.
Well, with this Kelly Thomas situation, he's actually doing what the officers tell him to do. He literally looks down at him while he has this man feet flat out, hands on his knees. He looks at him and he goes, you see these fists? And Kelly Thomas goes, yeah. He goes, these are here to F you up. These are going to F you up in a minute. He literally tells him, forecast, that he's going to start hitting him with his fist, even though the guy is doing everything he asked him to do. I think at that point, as a jury member, this is my personal opinion, ladies and gentlemen, but as a jury member, I look at that and I go, if he's doing everything he was told to do, and you just literally told him that you were going to go out of your way to do this to him, and that ended up being the result of it, comatose and then dying 5 days later, you guilty. Totally started the fight, and you are completely guilty for abuse of force. That's it. That's the way I look at it. I watched that whole tape. Yes, Kelly Thomas is fighting back against these guys after they start stunning him and beating him with their fists. Right, after. So after.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't watch the full video, so I'm not even going to pretend like I did. I was reading numerous reports.
Thank you.
And the reports were saying that he was getting aggressive with them back, which, and I know what the first thing people are going to say is, well, he was defending himself. In my mentality, as I'm reading this, is that if I'm getting beaten and tased, yeah, I don't think I'm going to be fighting back. I think I'm going to be trying to get the hell away.
But right, you're beaten and tased by the people that
that's the problem. Okay. The problem is it wasn't like three dudes are behind him and then he had like an open, clear area to run to. When you watch on the tape, they're surrounding him. So he can't go this way, or this way. He can't go any way. And he's trying to get away as they're hitting him, and then he's pushing them off while they're coming after him.
Where was the... Okay, so you did
almost
say
like
the guy
a running
was,
back trying to break a tackle.
Yeah, and the guy's prepping him. He's telling him, hey, I'm going to hit you.
I'm going to hit you.
When does this go to blows? What happens to send this to blows?
Literally, in my opinion, it goes to blows when he asks the guy to get down on his knees.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly asks, why do you want me to get down on my knees? Because he had already put him in a prone position with his hands on his knees and under control before he asked him to get on his knees. Like, he already had him in a position of where he could control him. He asked him to take that extra step. Kelly asked, why do you want me to get on my knees? And that's where he throws the first punch to his face, stating that he was at that point in direct violation of the officer. I don't think that he was, because the officer had asked him 14 other times before that, there's a schizophrenic thing, to like straighten his legs out. But regardless,
okay, even if he wasn't listening, then they could force him to get into that position. However, they wouldn't punch him.
Right. They punched
him. So, this is my question now. If it's this cut and dry that they asked for a command, he doesn't respond, they beat him, and this is a trial by jury. Yeah.
I don't know where they're thinking, man. I really don't. This is my honest... Like, guys, I'm not going to sit there and say that they're 100% wrong.
This was in the state of California.
I disagree with their verdict. I saw the videotape. They could sit there on that stand all they want, but the videotape, literally, ladies and gentlemen, when you have a videotape of the actual incident in question, you don't have to have people on the stand talking about it. You can just look at the videotape, listen to what they say to each other, and go... He was in the right, he was in the wrong, or he was in the wrong, he was in the right.
It's going to be physical. It's got to be physical action to instigate. That's right. The thing. And if there was no physical action, it was that cut and dry.
Well, here's what we'll do. We'll watch the videotape. We'll watch a couple minutes of the beginning of it, because that's where all this comes down for me. We'll watch it in between the next break.
But okay.
We'll take a look
at it. Because this is now, you can't be pissed at police officers. You need to be pissed at your mankind that just, for 12 people, just allowed a murderer to walk away. If it was just cut and dry.
Yeah.
Because, yes, what you're telling me, that is so... Probably the number one example of police brutality.
But here's the question. A, were they on trial for murder or were they on trial for...
Manslaughter.
So they were on trial for manslaughter.
Yes.
Okay.
Secondary.
Because the whole situation...
Involuntary manslaughter.
The whole situation...
He died from the actual blows that night.
With Casey, the whole situation...
But see, they're... I'm sorry, go ahead. Go right ahead. I think we're about to hit the same
thing. The whole
thing.
Situation with Casey Anthony is she wasn't on trial for the murder of her daughter. She was on trial for something else. That's what she was acquitted of. And people were like, she should have been locked up and she was guilty of it and blah, blah, blah. She wasn't on trial for the murder of her daughter. She was on trial for something else. I think it had to do with like checks or something like that. And then that's what she was acquitted of. But the good thing about our judicial system...
Are you sure about that? You might want to look that up during the break.
The good thing about our judicial system is there is an appeals process. So this verdict can be appealed to a higher court, where potentially there are 12 new people who are appointed to it, and then a correct action could be taken.
And that's what we'll do. Like I said, between the next breaks, here on 1280 AM KYRO 1420 WINI, what we'll do is we'll take a look at the videotape ourselves. Yeah, and I want at that point, once you guys have seen a couple of minutes of it, I want you to come back with your opinion.
But even so, he made a great point, man. There's a lot of times where everybody gets the uproar and they want to see someone get punished, and I completely agree that someone needs to be punished, but... What did someone screw up by charging them for something that maybe couldn't be proven directly within its restrictions of the law.
Right.
You know,
and
I mean,
I understand that.
Are they guilty of police brutality? Absolutely. Are they of assault? Absolutely.
Is that what they were on trial for?
But
no.
Did they, by definition, murder at this time? And in that case, they need to be in trouble either way. But this is where prosecutors need to watch how they charge somebody, because if you don't get that exact one, these things like this happen. But I don't know. Let's check it out. We'll watch. Because I read more on it. I didn't see the actual video. The accounts that I was reading about were more or less showing that he was aggressive back. And as a schizophrenic, I mean, I was kind of like, all bets are off. What did this guy do? But let's see.
All right, let's talk about this one, because we were talking about pro-gun, anti-gun earlier in the last section. And when Curtis Reeves Jr. killed a texting moviegoer and wounded a bystander at a local theater outside Tampa yesterday, this past week, actually, with a 380 pistol, it sounded like a clear case of rage. But the 71-year-old retired cop may have been in fear for his life, and he may be able to take advantage of Florida's gun-friendly self-defense law. Reeves' initial statement clearly and certainly indicates he'll claim self-defense, according to an analysis by the Tampa Bay Times' Jessica Vanderveld. Reeves told Pasco County Sheriff deputies Monday that Olson stood up and struck him in the face with an unknown object when they were arguing inside a Wesley Chapel movie theater during previews. Reeves says he was in fear of being attacked, according to an arresting affidavit. But the county police aren't buying it, in part because, you ready for this? The unknown object was a bag of movie popcorn. That's right. Reeves wanted Olson to stop texting. He walked out and complained to the theater management. When Reeves returned to the 120 showing of Lone Survivor, words were exchanged, and Olson threw a bag of popcorn at Reeves, an arrest affidavit states. Witnesses say the pair did not throw punches. Then Reeves just pulled a gun out and shot Olson, who was pronounced dead at the hospital. Under Florida's Stand Your Ground statute, an expansive coverall advanced by state's top NRA lobbyist in 2005, anyone can shoot to kill, assuming they reasonably feared for their physical well-being. And the definition of reasonably is quite elastic, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Law professor Charles Rose told Vanderveld. Many factors come into play, he said. For one, when Olson threw popcorn, that was technically assault under state law. Was it reasonable to respond with deadly force simply because of the popcorn? No, Rose said. However, if Reeves considered the popcorn throwing to be one step in an escalating response from Olson, and if the 71-year-old man feared that Olson would come over the movie theater seats and physically attack him next, and if Reeves felt he wouldn't be able to handle such an attack from a younger man, then jurors might consider deadly force reasonable, the attorney said. Here's the problem. We're trying to look into the mind of a defendant in a posit that was thought of what he thought was happening. Looking into the mind of an elderly man who comes armed to a matinee showing of Lone Survivor shouldn't take long, really. But then again, this is Florida, ladies and gentlemen, where George Zimmerman was found not guilty and where lawmakers are currently considering adding warning shots and the brandishing of weapons to the list of acts that could be protected under the Stand Your Ground law. Until it all shakes out, residents are probably best served by a red box, or technically Kevlar in this situation. First off, ladies and gentlemen, you got some problems in that state, okay? Florida, you got some issues. You got people killing people randomly, people getting away with it, people eating people's faces off like they're zombies. Also, let's not forget, you held up an entire national election a few years ago because you had dangling chads. And you couldn't figure out who you voted for.
There's a reason people go to this place for spring break. That's all I'm saying. Man. One wild time.
Guys, okay. We have, by the way, the sheriff, I've come to find out through other sources of information, this sheriff is an NRA member, huge pro-gun person, and quite the effective social media lover when it comes to the way he handles himself Tea Party-wise online.
Well, not only that, but the gentleman, Mr. Reeves, who shot the guy, his son works for the police department in Tampa where this happened.
That's right.
But the biggest thing, okay, apparently this all happened, okay, based around the man texting his toddler 3-year-old daughter.
Yes.
How the hell does your 3-year-old daughter know how to text? My 3-year-old doesn't know how to text.
That's okay. The real question there. And I think we need to dive.
That is the real question.
I want to say something as the pro-gun guy. First off, foremost, I want to say
I'm pro-gun.
I'm a pro-gun guy, but I'm going to say this right now. The laws in Florida need to be redrawn out drastically. First off, they give way too much to the average person. I don't trust the average person with
a gun. Well, that's why Florida's conceal and carry license isn't permitted everywhere anymore.
Tell that story about when you were in the military. The guy who's from England taught you about gun safety.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's the thing. When you have a weapon, Just everything that I've ever been taught, not even just from the military, but from my own, my parents and everything, you treat that thing like an instrument of death and nothing shy of that. Until you intend to fire, you keep your finger straight and off that trigger. You do not pull that until you intend to fire and kill. If you are, or I mean, outside of recreation, at no point do you pull it to look cool. Do you put warning shot my ass? Are you kidding me?
Brandishing.
No, you keep that until you have to use it. Because I'm sorry, if you really were scared for your life, you would know when. You would have the mentality of better to be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
True.
Half these people aren't in that mentality.
Of course,
getting hit with popcorn. Are you serious? Like, I'm sorry.
And there were no blows thrown. That's the thing. It was popcorn and then shoot dead.
This is as a pro gun person, I want to say that I think in Florida the law is, and I'm not saying it's one of those things where I maybe in the prior cases with George Zimmerman and that, like we talked about before, I'm not saying that the guy's a wonderful person, human being, or whatever. I said from the beginning with you that I did not like the Florida Stand Your Ground law.
Right.
It needed to be redrawn. It needed to really have some tighter guidelines. However,
to George Zimmerman's defense, he was not up on trial for Stand Your Ground. Yeah. He claimed self-defense.
Even in his case, he's being attacked. In his case, his head's being struck in the ground. This guy got hit with popcorn.
Yes.
Are you? If this guy
and
is
he's
allowed
a former sheriff,
and this is, and I'm sorry, this is down south, and I'm going to go with you on this. I think connections are everything in this state, and I think that's the only chance that this is even going to see its day in court. But no, as a pro-gun person, this makes me sick. This is why, like, I'm sorry, I get frustrated when liberals talk about the gun laws, because they're getting so drastic based off of idiots like this and not off of people that are responsible with their firearms.
No, I understand.
And this guy is just going to fuel the fire, and I got to hear this crap, and it's going to make me want to pull my hair out and punch someone. Now I'm going to act out violently. So in the end, I just think, dude, these laws are out of control. They need to be tightened up a
lot.
Ladies
and gentlemen, there are too many of you out there who have conceal and carry permits, and really, you shouldn't. And I'm not trying to say that because I'm against you. I'm not anti-gun. I'm a pro-gun liberal moderate, okay? I'm not that guy. I know you hear the word liberal, and you're like, it's obvious you can't be. No, I am. The truth is that I understand that you want to enjoy your firearms, and you want to be able to tell everybody how Obama's taking your stuff, how, like, they're always coming... You've been in the military many years. Did Obama ever come and take your weapons?
No. Well, Obama wasn't in office.
Do you got any guns right now?
I do have guns. I don't have them in my
apartment. Have they been taken away from you? Did Obama come over to your house with his wife and his two kids and their puppy, and they knock on your door and go, hey, you know, Dan, we really wish you could just give those guns, please?
In my defense, though, I never shot a guy for hitting me with popcorn.
That's a good point.
I mean, we got to give credit where credit's due. No, I just, you know what? Here's a, I'm with you.
You did rub a chick's face on the ground.
Carpet burn.
Yes.
When in Rome. Okay.
When in Rome. And the man that got shot, actually, before he was taken to the hospital, the last words he actually stated were, "Who the hell thought I would go to a movie and get shot?"
Yeah. That's my problem, ladies and gentlemen.
Why do you need a gun in a movie theater?
Oh, listen. Well,
their argument is going to be what happened in Colorado, and they're going to be like, I was going to bring myself.
Dude, my favorite part of the Colorado thing, and I brought it up at the time, and I want to discuss it real quick. My favorite part of the Colorado time was when they started doing interviews with people outside of that movie theater, and they started talking to some of these pro-gun people, that these people that go over the edge, like Dan was saying earlier.
Yeah.
And they started talking to them, and they're like, you know, if I would have been in that theater, this would have gone down completely different. He would have never killed that many people. And I sat there when
you
I hear
don't
these
know
people.
What's going to happen?
When I sit there and I listen to these people rattle this stuff off like it's God's word to their head.
Right.
Okay. I start thinking, so explain to me exactly what Saturdays you've rented out movie theaters, put movies up on the screen, allowed people to run in and throw smoke grenades and just start firing AK-47s and M-16s randomly at the seats so you could practice this technique that you just went on CNN and told everybody you would be able to duck and roll and take the guy out with.
And they don't cover this in these classes, and that's what cracks me up. People are like, no, I went and got the license. I got the class. No one ever they never go in depth on trajectory of fire. You don't ever think everybody's like, I'll shoot and kill him. What if you miss? Who's behind him? You said it exactly correct. You know what would have happened if you'd had your gun in that theater? More people probably would have been killed instead of just maimed, because you couldn't see your target.
Well,
you were confused. You would have shot like a cowboy.
Well,
you'd have killed more.
They only teach them the one side. And the one side is as long as you got the iron with the bullet in it in your hand, you're in control. What they don't tell them is that, yes, that is true, but there's another guy. Like, listen, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to be honest with you. At one point in our history, in the old Wild West, there were gunslingers. And these guys literally would get into arguments and have problems with each other. They would walk out into the streets. They would do 10 paces. They would turn and they would fire on each other. Every single one of those men, for the most part, chose that style of life and knew exactly what it was like to stand in the street 10 yards away from each other and firing their pistols at each other, okay? Most people in 2014 have no idea what it feels like and how scared you become when someone literally starts firing that bullet that could take your life at you. You start thinking different things. You start running and hiding, and you start, you're not flipping. It's not like a movie. You're not Marky Mark. You didn't flip, come up, point, aim, boom, boom, double tap to the head. You know, it. No. You start running and just firing, and then like your arms are flipping. You're scared.
People are going to be running in front of you. It's just stuff that they've never, you said it exactly. They've never been in that situation, never trained in that situation. It's going to create more chaos. And I'm sorry. I am a person who thinks that we should have guns, but I do not think you need to be careful. Do not carry them in a public area. Here's my thing. If I'm in a movie theater and you come in with a gun, congratulations, you got me, you hard ass. You came into a place where people weren't ready for you and you shot a bunch of people up. I hope you got the attention you wanted. I hope that mommy and daddy not hugging you enough. You know, I whatever, hope this makes up for it. But I'm not ever going to do that. I'm never going to bring a gun in because, A, if you're going to come get me there, then I'm, you know what? It is what it is. Come get me. No, I'm not going to shoot other people.
I just thought it was an interesting story, ladies and gentlemen. It's time for us to take a break here on The Q. You're listening to us on 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI, and worldwide at theqnow.com. Don't forget, after this episode, listen through the credits, and we start overtime a few minutes there. We went long last week, but we're going to try to keep it under this week. But hey, you know what? We had a really good time. It was a really good episode. So check out theqnow.com. We'll be back on The Q with some prognostication on this video when we get back. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland joined today by Dan Walsh, as well as Little Bobby. And we are rocking and rolling on 1280 AM KYRO, 1420 WINI. And we are bringing you back with all Nine Inch Nails, a little closer there for you to bring you back on this one. And
Hey, Mark, I just want to say something.
Sure.
Earlier in the show, we had, you know, we've been discussing something about Benghazi and such, and I had kind of chimed in just on, you know, being the, say, you know, the person with military experience in
right
the room.
You were speaking on behalf of everyone.
Yeah, and I want to be the first one to say that I had my experience.
Let me see if I can read this out for you, okay? Mm-hmm. Because I see kind of where you're going with this, and I want everybody to get the idea. Dan is a decorated Marine.
War hero.
Dan is a decorated war hero and Marine. And listen, he has been in Iraq, which is the equivalent of World War II as a whole, like the entire thing, like from the beginning to the end.
All of these
and he
things
wants to,
are not from my mouth.
He wants
at
to
all.
Let everyone know that he speaks at the same levels as Colin Powell.
He is a decorated war hero and is better.
Guys, he is better than all of you.
On a serious note, I am not a decorated war hero.
Okay.
I have my military service, and I have my aspect of it, and I do not speak for everybody, and I respect any man and woman that is in the uniform currently, and if I say anything that is offensive or in any way, I do apologize. I speak only from my limited experience, and that's all I can speak from. So if I say anything that somebody feels is out of line or maybe not a direct representation of everyone, I do apologize, and I don't mean to do that. I'm not John Rambo by any means. I just try and chime in with a little bit that maybe I know to kind of add to the conversation. And I just don't want anyone to think that I'm out here trying to be anything more than what I did.
Let me rest you a little easy.
You're not Rambo. You're G.I. Dan Walsh.
Listen.
That is true.
walking military reality.
Walking, flying military polar vortex reality.
Internationally accredited.
Yes. I just want to rest you easy a little bit here. Okay. First off, you don't have nothing to worry about. And the reason I say that you have nothing to worry about is simply this. The listeners of The Q are smart people, okay? I tell everyone, and I've said this many times on the show, Bobby knows this.
Absolutely.
Only smart people listen to this show. If you have more than an IQ of 100, then you're probably good to listen to the show. Less than 100, you might as well just not chime in.
That's
because
why
this,
I
this
don't.
Show is not designed for you. This is a show designed for smart people. Listen, we shoot a little bit off the cuff. We tend to talk a lot about politics. We do believe everything that we say. We don't say these things lightly. These are our honest opinions. At the same point, we do flurry it up with a little comedy and a little fun and stuff like that to make it a little easier to swallow and so that you guys get an entertaining show. And Dan right. does not speak for the entire military. We understand that, and they understand that too. So I don't think, but you did say it, so it's okay.
No,
I
mean, you are a decorated
I just
war
don't want
hero.
Anybody. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I have my experience. Stop. I'm proud of my experience. I'm proud of all that. But there is a lot of guys out there doing a lot and tons of stuff, and they have different experiences in that. And so I just want to say I respect that, and hopefully I'm not saying anything out of context that could offend you.
Fair enough. Cool. Well, hey, we were talking off the air. Listen, we tried to watch the Kelly Thomas video off air when we were taking a break here at the station, and unfortunately we couldn't get the video working on any of the feeds as well as some of the other YouTube stuff we were trying to take a look at. So yeah. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance for Dan to check that out so that he could kind of give his opinion based off of what we had talked about in the last section of the show.
However, there was a great ad for Reebok shoes. And
there was.
So, I mean, it wasn't a total dud.
It was an amazing ad for Reebok shoes.
Find
I don't know if anybody actually buys Reeboks at all. To be honest,
don't you are going to make all those CrossFit guys go nuts. They are going to box squat in here. They're going to run there. We
is,
are going to
wait,
have,
wait, wait, wait. Is CrossFit tied in that heavily
dude,
with Reebok?
Yeah,
oh,
Reebok
I didn't know
CrossFit
that.
Games, man. Oh, yeah, they are going to be
oh my
out.
Jesus.
They're going to be out in this parking lot with iron bars doing squats and jumps and tons of other exhausting
listen,
activities.
I'm going to listen. Tagline for CrossFit. Check it out. Tell me what you guys want to think. Play with it. Throw it away if you don't like it. Okay.
Hashtag
CrossFit. Here we go. CrossFit for those people that just think real working out is boring.
I agree.
I like that.
I think watching CrossFit is entertaining enough. Sometimes I sweat just doing that and forget to work out.
Everybody knows that if you just take two ninja size, you connect a rope to the end of it and just keep whipping it back and forth as hard as you can, nailing targets on a wall. 400 reps of that is going to make your arms tired.
You know what? One day China is going to invade, and they're going to have ropes in their hands.
And we will be prepared.
Our CrossFit heroes will be there to defend us.
You know, the CrossFit heroes in America, and I'm not trying to make fun of them or take them light. Yes, I am. My CrossFit yes, heroes absolutely. Out there, the CrossFit men and women of America, and I'm not knocking you guys. I don't think you're bad people. You're in shape. Don't get me wrong. You guys are definitely way more in shape
tremendous
than I am.
Tremendous shape.
But listen, I know that when it snows outside is when you guys really shine. You know what I'm saying? It's because cars are broken down on the side of the road. And if there was ever a need to just grab a bull rope, wrap it around some metal, and start dragging it 100 yards, snowstorms is where it's at, dude.
The most baffling thing about CrossFit whenever I watch it is I'm like, how did somebody think of that exercise? Like, some of them get so intense, it's like, I'm
my
over here.
My favorite are the guys who really get so into it that their girlfriends are into it, too. So they start doing the pull-ups with her on their backs, mm-hmm. or reverse cowgirl style, and they're giving her kisses over the bar each time.
Are you sure like, you're not watching a CrossFit championship? I think you're watching Showtime After Dark.
This is actually a CrossFit meme that I saw. It was pretty funny.
Not trying to tag into, MTV and the real world, but it was pretty funny watching last year's challenge. Because
Darren Walsh would have beat them all.
There was like a group of eight people. There was a group of like eight people that were all about CrossFit, and other people would try and talk to them while they were running and doing CrossFit, and they're like, "We can't talk to you."
Oh no!
Please leave us alone.
Dude, it's huge.
Can't talk to each other.
No, they get so serious about it, and like if you say anything negative about CrossFit,
yes,
they
freaked
infuriated.
Out,
infuriated. Like, dude, it is. It's like the Scientology of the exercise world.
On the challenge, you should have seen these people. The one girl, Emily, who is pretty good looking, she's sitting there and telling.
And she's a sweetheart. I know Emily.
She was like, people are like, CrossFit is there. It's just crazy. And she's like, no.
Dude,
no,
she
you
got dejected
don't.
By it.
You do not ever talk bad about CrossFit.
Dude, if I ever had to get into a big brawl in a bar, I would like bring Emily with me, and then right when they're about to beat me up, I'd be like, Emily, they said box squats are for weaklings. And just watch
get
her go nuts and just start like, she'd pick them up and start doing like jumps and hops with them, and like, it'd be insane.
I'm CrossFitting right now.
Now, listen, there is a popular exercise that, this is pre-CrossFit.
Called sleeping?
No. Pre-CrossFit, there was something I used to do that I bet, and I don't know this person, because I don't know nothing about CrossFit, technically. Listen, I don't have a problem with CrossFit. I don't have a problem with people who do CrossFit. You guys are cool in my book, and you're in tremendous shape. I just make a little light of it, have a little fun with you. It's nothing personal. But I think I used to do this as a warm-up exercise. I used to do 250 Hindu squats.
I thought you were going to say Taibo.
I don't know if you've ever done a Hindu squat. Have you ever done a Hindu squat?
No.
Have you ever done a Hindu squat?
Dan Walsh was like, it sounds terrible.
I may have, Hindu but squats, not known what it was called.
Hindu squats basically mean you stand up straight. I can actually kind of do it here for you guys live and thing. You stand up completely straight like
hey,
this.
Hey, guys, pay attention. Watch this.
Yeah. Everybody at home, watch this. Watch this happen.
No, pay attention.
No. You can look it up on YouTube to see what a Hindu squat is. But basically, what you do is you keep your back completely straight and you go straight down. And then you keep it all the way straight up. But you're just going to go down and then up.
Oh, like I do but like 400 of those before I use the computer.
But, dude, they tear your legs up.
It sounds like you're sitting down.
They tear your legs up.
No, they're intense, man.
They're very intense.
Those guys, I respect the crap out of them, man. I'll be honest with you, man. I don't have the attention span for it.
I just
or
didn't realize
the
that there was such a hatred for people who don't like CrossFit.
There's going to be a CrossFit like gang war that goes on. They're going to take over for motorcyclists. Only it's going to be like this CrossFit club versus this CrossFit club. And the fights are going to last for years.
Instead of
because
Sons of Anarchy.
Such good shape.
Sons of Fit.
Sons of Fit.
Like, they're just going to get into an argument. They're going to be like, you know what? Meet me over at the football field. I've already got two sleds waiting. Let's do this.
On CNN, they'll be like, and we are in our ninth year of the CrossFit Wars, and no one is even sweating.
I'm sorry. I don't understand. Like, the exercises, I understand. I get it, okay? There are people out there that, And I know that my thing that I said was a joke, but there are people out there that they don't like to sit on a treadmill and jog for 20 minutes.
Right.
They don't like to get down with weights, like free weights, and just lift for 15 to 20 minutes doing five sets of reps. Like, I get it. And CrossFit does emulate some of those same things, as well as allows you to just have a little bit more of a unique approach to your exercise. It, like, breaks the monotony.
Yeah,
I understand that.
They don't lift weights. They like to lift the people who are lifting the weights.
Which is
weird.
That's
where they go. That's
so odd, though. Do you think there's a sexual element to it?
There's just this incredible drive, man. Like, it's just... And when they're doing it, they're so intense. I envy it.
Why are they intense? Why are they intense?
Because that is going to be some excruciatingly, like, grueling exercise that they're going to do. You can't hold...
Is it?
Is
it really?
When
I mean, we're talking about pull-ups, man. Is it an excruciatingly painful?
First off, the one thing that I don't like about CrossFit is the pull-ups. The pull-ups drive me nuts. I understand that you're doing a lot of repetitions of a lot of things, but you can still not kip yourself up. You can do a pull-up. However, when I watch the rest of the events, it is extremely...
Give me an example of an event that's a unique thing.
CrossFit like P90X?
It's intense. No, there's like a guy at my gym that does it, and he puts like, he'll put boxes, like that stuff that they like they, at the circus when they're like taming the lions.
Okay.
He takes those, and like he puts like, and they're different levels, and he like, dude, he jumps from one to the other. And I mean, there's a good 5 foot gap there. And he does this over and over. And then he goes right into another exercise, man. He doesn't stop. And so you're watching him and you're like, man, I mean, to me, I'm like, this guy is legit. This guy, can't just go, you know what, I think I'm going to go do about 30 minutes of CrossFit. You better walk in there with the mindset that you're going to put yourself to the ringer.
Wow. They look like they're on speed, because I remember going to the gym one time and watching someone while I was running on the treadmill, and they're like little rabbits.
I would totally love to just grab a camera with Bobby. Bobby, you videotape this.
Okay.
Grab a camera, me and Dan going to a CrossFit gym, having one of the owners or instructors that work at the CrossFit gym kind of just put us through, not like gruelingly, but just put us through like a set of like 10 exercises.
Yeah,
like for one rep, just to see what it's like.
If you're going to put this on the air, don't mic us, because I have a feeling we're going to have some choice words as I think it would be entertaining, man. I'll tell you what, those guys, I mean, I'm in good shape, and I'm going to say I'm impressed with what I see them do.
Oh, no.
It's not my thing. Like, I wouldn't jump into it, but I mean, I respect it. It's good to go.
All right, well, during the break, we were talking, while we were taking a break, we were talking about the NSA specifically. I got something really odd for you guys to take a listen to.
Okay.
Okay? Since at least 2008, the NSA has used a secret channel of radio waves transmitted from covertly installed computer hardware to monitor about 100,000 computers around the world, allowing the spy agency to access the computers even if they aren't connected to the internet. The hacked computers, in addition to being regularly monitored, could also be used to launch a cyber attack, according to a New York Times article partially based on NSA documents provided by Edward Snowden. The program, codenamed Quantum, most frequently targets the Chinese army, who the U.S. has condemned for using similar hacking
techniques.
They're
segregated from the world.
I know, everyone's going after the Chinese.
Dude, you can't even get Facebook in China.
Quantum has also been used against the Russian military, Mexican police groups, and drug cartels, and the government of the U.S. allies like Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, and the India. There is no evidence it's been used against targets in the United States.
Hold on. I think I have some evidence of that. I tried to get on YouPorn the other day. Normally I have no problem getting there, but it was a slow connection.
They
kept blocking it, and they kept blaming it on my phone, but NSA, you kept getting weird text messages
like, what are you doing?
Touche, big brother.
At work, Touché. It was like, this firewall has been
set up. And you're just like, I've talked to everybody today that I need to talk to. Why do they keep asking me, who is this?
They're like, Christina Nguyen, really, again? You know, yeah. We're worried.
It's just one of those situations. Now, Bobby, yeah. We teased it at the top of the show. You had something you wanted to talk about in regards to our boy Alex Rodriguez.
Okay, so A-Rod, shut your mouth, first off.
Why shut his mouth? What's the deal? Okay. I hate people who hate on famous people who are just successful for being successful.
No. I'm not hating on him.
But I love people who hate on A-Rod.
Okay, so Alex Rodriguez is suing Major League Baseball and its players' union due to the fact that he is wanting his now season-long, they've reduced it from 211 games to 162-plus postseason play.
Okay,
suspension.
So one season.
Suspension, but he is allowed to play during spring training. But here's the thing. A-Rod is saying that the players' union has misrepresented him and that Major League Baseball is unfairly because of the fact that he never tested positive for the PEDs, HGH, anything like that. He has never tested positive. He was actually tested multiple times between 2010 and 2012 when this whole situation, exactly 11 times he was tested during the big, you know, realm of this whole situation.
Okay.
And A-Rod says that he is being misrepresented. But here's my thing, okay? A-Rod, yes. A-Rod came out back in, I think it was like 2006 or something like that, and said, hey, you know what? I did screw up when I played for the Texas Rangers, and I took some performance-enhancing drugs. Cool. You did for sure.
Long time ago.
Yes, you did for sure. But they announced when this whole situation was going on, Nelson Cruz, a couple other players were suspended. They said, if you fight us, we will extend and we will be more aggressive in our, you know, suspensions or whatever happens.
But see, here's the thing. Based off of what I know about this situation, okay?
Uh-huh.
This is where I side with Alex Rodriguez a little bit, okay? It's the fact that the time period that they are discussing with these other players that they're lumping him in with is not the time period that he admitted to doing it. It's
correct.
The time period where they were being tested. And the problem is since he never tested positive, but because he admitted at some point in his past he had, they decided to throw the book at him because he was the biggest dog on the block, and they wanted to make an example
of him. No, the other reason they're throwing the book at him is during the whole investigation, A-Rod was paying or trying to pay off the guy who was talking to Major League Baseball to shut his pipe, basically. Keep your mouth shut. Don't tell them what happened. And this guy is going on 60 Minutes and everything else saying, I personally shot A-Rod up. Right in the butt.
I think he's just angry because spring training's not very long, and with a player as streaky as A-Rod, that can really make or break if he hits the ball or not. And plus, what you didn't touch base on is, he didn't test positive in those times for HGH. However, he did test positive for CrossFit, and that's the same thing.
That is literally the exact same thing.
That is the same thing, and we need to come down hard
on that. That is a performance-enhancing drug.
But also, this past week, you know, with Major League Baseball, they did announce, and this kind of goes into the whole A-Rod situation, they announced that only Greg Maddux, Tom Glavine, and Frank Thomas have made it into the Hall of Fame for this next year.
Okay.
But some of the people that are coming up over the next, five seasons, potentially...
Are the steroid peoples?
Correct. So you have people like Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, Gary Sheffield, who was rumored to have possibly done this.
Marky McGuire.
And John Smoltz. Mark McGuire has been on the ballot for the last 5 years, along with Sammy Sosa, and they keep just barely getting enough to stay on there. Rafael Palmeiro, though, who physically came out and said, you know what, I screwed up.
he's been basically taken off the ballot. 2016, we have Ken Griffey Jr. and Trevor Hoffman. 2017, Vladimir Guerrero, Jorge Posada, and someone who has definitely tested positive, Manny Ramirez and Ivan Rodriguez. 2018, Chipper Jones.
Pudge. Okay, there it is.
2018.
That's Chipper, a baseball name.
2018 is Chipper Jones, Jim Thome, Omar Vasquez. 2019, Roy Halladay, Todd Helton, Andy Pettitte, and Mariano Rivera. So the big thing about this is a lot of these players played during this PED, you know, HGH kind of scenario, and they're saying that this could potentially, because last year was the first year ever since, I think, the 60s, that we did not have a player inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
So they're saying potentially for the next 4 or 5 years, we may not have people inducted into the Hall of Fame because we can't trust their credibility.
But I don't know.
I think at a certain point, though, you're going to kill off an entire section of baseball history, and I just don't think that it's worth it. Like, I understand, but at the time that a lot of these guys did some of this stuff, it wasn't illegal. They weren't doing it illegally. Like, HGH wasn't illegal when Mark McGwire was taking it.
And that's
like
part of the problem I have with the whole McGwire situation.
If it's a situation where the thing was illegal, when Rob Davis comes on the show, the sports guy, his argument when we talked about Pete Rose was the rule on the books was you can't gamble on the sport. Like, it's on the books. It's one of the bylaws. So by doing it, he literally broke a law. So therefore, if they're holding anything against him, it's breaking a law that was literally on the books.
Right.
With all these other guys, it wasn't on the books. It's just a moral discussion.
It was frowned
upon.
It's
a frowned upon moral thing.
I just want to know when they're going to test these umpires for HGH, because all their chests are huge. And whenever they get into the arguments with
CrossFit. It's CrossFit.
They get so angry, and all of a sudden their veins come out.
It's CrossFit.
You can't tell me they aren't shooting a juice, dude. Nobody gets that mad that quick.
In the NFL, have you ever seen Ed Hockules?
Lou Piniella. I think he's on something.
Ed Hockules in the NFL. I have never seen an NFL umpire with arms bigger than yours, Dan Walsh.
I have huge
veins,
arms. Tell me more about
veins
my arms.
But who cares? Who cares if those get... Like, I don't have a problem. Listen, we watch these sports for exciting moments. Some people watch the sports because they like the stories behind the sports.
Correct.
Which is why, like, a show like Real Sports is a popular show.
Right.
So, everybody watches sports for a different reason. I watch pro wrestling because I like the storylines. I could really care less if Dolph Ziggler sells like an amazing tool bag.
I
don't care.
In underwear.
I don't care if he comes out and he hashtags and he flips his hair. Listen. I love Mr. Perfect. I didn't care that you smacked your bubble gum, bro. Like, I didn't care about none of that. I liked watching Coconuts to Foreheads. I liked watching Piper's Pit. I liked all the storylines that happened around the business. That's what I like about it. I know guys that are all about the wrestling. They could care nothing about the storylines whatsoever. They literally just love to watch two guys interact physically in the ring. Everybody watches sports for different reasons. But I think that you should judge those sports on exactly why they're exciting. And if hitting home runs is an exciting part of baseball, and you've got an entire section of history where that was a big thing,
right,
you can't ignore it. You kept the record that they broke, the 62.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
So if you're going to keep that record... And basically in this situation, disparage the name potentially of Roger Maris.
Well, like the Barry Bonds situation. You know, Barry Bonds hit 73 home runs, and I guarantee he's never going to go into the Hall of Fame because of the fact that people look down on him because of the fact that he did. He admitted that he did it.
Here's where people are missing, and I'm going to say that I see this directly, and I'm not going to mention where I work because I can't legally.
Right.
I'll get in trouble. But
correct.
Where I work, I am in fitness and I work with supplements, and you would not believe how many high school kids try and come in and look for borderline performance enhancing first, not proteins, not vitamins, not fish oils. Do you have test boosters? Do you have this? Do you have these pro hormones? They aren't even looking for the nutrients. They're looking for the stuff that's going to give them immediate edge. And one guy even looked at me, and I disagreed with him, and probably more than I should have as a customer. And he goes, "Oh, you're not going to go anywhere unless you do that stuff." This is a 17-year-old kid.
Oh, yeah.
This is their mentality. And you know where they're getting it from? The people they're looking at.
Yeah.
And it's going to keep going downhill.
It's not even that.
This needs to be nipped.
College coaches. We're going to be getting into game on, game off here real soon. And I've got a game on that is just going to make Bobby drool. He's going to love my game on. But before we get into game on, game off, I want to put it out there a little bit, okay? I'm going to put something out there. You ready? I'm going to float this out there.
I'm going to put it out there.
We're going to put it out there.
You can take it if you want it. Give it right back if you don't.
Go do some CrossFit if you need to. Whatever's going to juice you.
Get it out of your system. Get it out.
Do some Hindu squats.
You got to do some Hindu squats if you need to. I just want to put this out there. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to stop getting on social media and treating people disrespectfully. I'm sorry. This needs to happen, okay? I posted an interview that I did with a wrestling manager in the St. Louis area recently, and I caught a ton of flack on Facebook. If you go to Missouri Wrestling Revival Facebook page, you can see my interview I did with a guy by the name of Hardcore Andy, okay? Listen, I did that interview legitimately. He's a good guy. It was a fun interview to do, and I'm getting ready to do a bunch of other pro wrestlers and managers and people in the St. Louis wrestling scene. I think it'd be really fun to kind of get into the heads of some of these guys and ask them some unique questions. So if you like that stuff, make sure you pay attention to it. I appreciate it. Make sure you follow me on theqnow.com, theqnow.com. Follow us on Twitter, at theqnow, at DanWalsh83, at CCPapa, S-I-S-I-P-O-P-P-A. And we live tweet during the show, so we'll answer any questions you have. We'll be back on The Q right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to The Q. Of course, Mark Bland bringing you back with all Nine Inch Nails music today, handpicked by Dan Walsh, the hand that feeds. And we have Dan Walsh, Road Rules Reality Challenge, MTV VH1.
International
superstar. Dan Walsh. And professional wrestler.
Dan, you don't even have to, you know, you were talking about wanting to expand your horizons.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, your horizons are expanded.
I just need to do... This is so ironic that my biggest fans who are now watching shows that I did 6 years ago are in the Middle East. Little did they know, I spent some time there in 2004.
First off, you get questions. Sometimes you get questions posted to you, okay?
Yeah.
About your old show. And you know, let's be honest, we haven't really ever asked you about like the stuff that you did on that show. We don't really get into it too much. Let's talk a little bit about your MTV stuff before we do Game On, Game Off, which is coming up right after this.
But we do say thank you for all the awesomeness you provided.
Dan, tell us a little bit about, first off, what was it like being on the Road Rules challenges and all that?
It's an amazing opportunity. It really is. And I don't mean the television part. These people really are crazy, but in sometimes in a good way. And I mean, I'm insane too. I've shown that. But
Dan, did you have sex with Robin? That's what I need to know. I just need to know.
Ahmed
McBujumajad from Georgia, your favorite country.
Ahmed Abadidajad.
One of Koba's best friends is literally.
it's his little brother.
I get this guy. His name is Ashrafi Rahai.
Okay. Ashrafi Rahai.
I don't even know how to pronounce his name.
He's listening to the show right now.
And he randomly pops up in my Facebook and asks me questions. And he asked if I had relations with Robin. Which this show was done in 2008.
Okay, so
this
a while
is
ago.
Behind
6 years ago.
And if anybody watched it or remembers it, I was intoxicated the entire time.
Dan, do you remember having relations with Robin? Gotcha. We're not saying we need details, just yes or no, man. Did you have relations with Robin?
I had relations with Robin.
All right, fair enough.
She's married now. I don't want to say anything out of it, but I mean, it was what it was. We were young. This was before any of that. It was, you know.
Right. This is back when you guys were young. Yeah, you guys were young people, and it was an opportunity to enjoy each other.
Who were some of the other mainstream people that are still doing these shows that were on with you?
He was with Puck.
Dude, I wasn't with Puck. I've never. I was with Johnny Bananas.
Johnny Bananas!
Who I'm telling you right now, that guy catches a bad rap, but if you ever want to party with somebody, and just actually, if you ever just want to go to an
Applebee's. His name is Johnny Bananas. That's literally the reason you need to party with
somebody. Oh,
You need to party with him. He has his own bobblehead.
Does he really?
He made it himself.
He's an egotistical monster, but I love it. He actually was on TMZ because whenever Entourage was doing their final season, they had a show on it, you know, a spinoff show called Johnny's Bananas. So Johnny actually contacted and said, hey, that's, you know, I've been acting like an idiot on television. I want some kind of royalties or I want them to stop or whatever. Everybody else on the show was like, okay, we understand. They were respectful. All the main players. But who's that little, the redheaded kid?
Oh, Eric?
Yeah. He's the only one that called him like a loser and went off, which is like hilarious. So they're asking Johnny about it. And I've even asked Johnny about it. I'm like, so what do you think about that? And he goes, what is that? Wasn't that kid on that show, that Unhappily Ever After show?
Oh.
He goes, I thought he was a puppet. So he was... So no, he's an entertaining guy, man. One funny story about him that I will always say is every woman in my family hates him.
Okay.
They're always, he's so chauvinistic, he's so this, he's so that. So me and Johnny are actually driving to do a bar appearance one time, and my aunt calls me on the phone when I'm in the car, and we're driving.
In the phone?
And in the phone. And I'm talking, and he's just over there playing with his phone, you know, just in his own banana world. And my aunt, I actually have her on speaker, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, me and Johnny are driving to, you know, this bar. And she goes, is that Johnny Bananas? And I was like, yeah. And she goes, can you tell him that he's a chauvinistic pig? And Johnny, without hesitation, looks over at me and goes, hey, ask her what she's doing on the phone. She's supposed to be behind that pile of dishes in the kitchen.
Oh, dude, it was
pretty funny.
Now, do you still get offers to do bar appearances and things like that?
No, dude, I didn't.
Never,
even, dude. When I did my one, the island one, I was such a complete mess.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it followed me home. And obviously, I mean, we know this. I was a recovering addict and cleaned myself up. And I will say this, dude. People are gonna think I'm a loser for saying this. I attribute MTV to partially saving me, because as much as everybody thinks that they feed you to the wolves,
it opened your eyes.
They were the first ones to stop me while on the show and say, listen, man, you've got a problem. And you know,
fair
when
enough.
You're on a reality TV show where they make
they
money
off of you having problems.
And some of the craziest people who have done the most insane things look at you and go, dude, you've got a problem.
Like, yeah.
That, it wakes you up. And, I mean, they were starting to pull back on my alcohol intake. They couldn't pull it back to a certain amount because it would have been dangerous to me because we weren't eating enough.
Did you ever get into any fist fights on the show?
Almost. Not one that I was about to get into. I was separated by a bunch of people, which, thank God, because it would have been a stupid mistake. The kid wound up quitting the next day anyway. So, I mean, it would have just eliminated me, and I would have embarrassed myself. But, no, a lot of times, man, is I think I was so off my rocker that it didn't even make sense enough for someone to get heated back with me.
They were just kind of like,
what the hell is this guy going on about? I mean, I was a mess.
Right.
Like, completely. Like, have you guys... All right, everyone always talks about they went... Oh, I went to the bar, dude, and I blacked out. I don't remember anything. I went to Panama for 5 weeks, filmed a TV show, and didn't remember damn near anything.
Wow.
I had to watch it.
Wow.
In complete embarrassment. We watch at the same time everybody watches it.
But you don't regret it.
No, dude, the only thing I do regret, okay, is I was dating this girl and we had broken up before I left, right?
Right.
So obviously I'd had some relations with Robin. And right. So I was like, man, maybe she'll never figure it out. Maybe, you know, she said she was never going to watch the show. Okay, but she did watch MTV. So I'm like, okay, she won't figure it out. No one will tell her, whatever.
But
you know,
they're popping in the commercial.
Dude, the whole day before they aired it, they had a little box that sat at the bottom of the screen and there was three scenes they kept replaying and one of it was me making out with Robin. Over and over again, as if they were like, ha-ha, "You're not getting away with this one."
Yeah,
and, but no, they were really cool. They were the ones who urged me.
Do you keep in contact with any of those guys still?
There's a group of them that I really haven't talked to any of them in a long time. But I had my core group. Derek Kaczynski, who's just a great guy. Johnny Bananas, who's, you know, as much crap as that guy catches, he's really a good friend.
Is Derek the gay one?
No, there is a gay Derek, but it's that's not what, that one. Okay. Remember the old, like, the pit bull Derek, that little dude that just, like, he was little, but he could still beat anybody? That Derek. And he's into CrossFit. I kept in contact. These guys were really cool. We shared something. It was more like a summer camp. You know, when I talk about it, it's not the TV part. It's just the crazy experiences and the challenges that we did in the countries we got to go to and stuff. And it was a lot of fun, and there were some times that I embarrassed myself, but at the same time, if that wouldn't have happened, I wouldn't have had an eye-opening experience and fixed and cleaned myself. I'm 4 years sober now, so I mean, I can really look at MTV and say, you know what, as much as maybe you put me in a position to embarrass myself, you also helped with telling me, hey, you need to cut it out.
Have they offered for you to come back for anything?
Yeah, but here's the thing, whenever I sobered up, I just got real lame.
Okay.
Like, the last one I did, I was drinking, and all I did was just chime in on other people's stuff. Like, I just didn't have any energy to get into arguments.
Yeah, but now that you're sober and you're in relatively good shape, I think you should go back and, with the new Dan, just rock their world and just win the money and take it. And just eat off of it.
And I would love to do that, but then they would put me in with a puzzle. And or a math
damn
problem.
Damn it!
And
I can't do this! Ladies and gentlemen, today on the Duel Challenge number 52... Dan Walsh is in the finals against Johnny Bananas, and here it is. It's almost like, you know, what is that TV show about kitchen? The Kitchen America, Iron Chef?
Oh, yeah.
The Iron Chef there, and he goes, and your secret goal for today is CrossFit obstacle course.
No, with mine it would be, okay, Dan, today we're going to have a long division problem, and your opponent will not even be a member of the cast. We have brought in this Asian pre-med.
This small Asian girl.
And you will go against her, and you'll watch Dan lose horribly.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think it's time for us to play Game On, Game Off. That's right. The weekly entertaining section of our show where we try to hip you to cool new stuff that you might not know about that you need to check out. Could be a movie, could be a TV show, could be a website, could be clothing, fashion. It could be a person that you need to know about. It could be anything. Also, we do Game Off, which is basically the equivalent of the car coming down the street, us having to pick up the hockey goal and walk off to the side. And you need to not do that, okay?
Right.
You need to stop doing whatever it is. Jordan Grace was on here a few weeks ago. She said, Game Off, twerking.
Twerking.
Bobby's famous Game Off of all time is going to be disrespect.
So Game On,
respect. Yes, Game Off, disrespect. Okay, so this week, because Dan is here, last week he was here too for the show. This week, Dan, why don't you start off? What's your Game On?
Game On. Mm-hmm. Going to Walmart at 9:30 at night and yelling at whatever kids are there.
All right.
And listen to why. Because why? Chances are my tax dollars are raising them anyways.
Uh-huh.
And you know which kids these are. These are the kids that have like the uneven haircut and the chocolate sauce on their face.
Oh, yeah,
that's been there for 4 days.
The Duck Dynasty shirt that just came out last week. Yeah,
meanwhile, their mother is in line trying to check out, but she's falling asleep in the process because of the numerous amount of downers she's on.
Because of the Percocets she's on.
Game On, yelling at kids in Walmart at 9:30.
Does this happen a lot?
It's getting dangerously close
to it. It's getting, like, you're just like literally. Like, you're finding times as you're driving home from your work job, you're like, there's a Walmart right there. And it's about 9:15. I might go hang out in the parking lot.
I swear to God, if there's one more time I go in there and a kid grabs a bicycle and just goes, what's this do? It's going to happen.
Mama, what's this do? You shut your mouth. Don't you tread on my ride, son.
Mama, can I ride this in the trailer?
Yeah.
With Paul?
Awesome.
We just went country with him. Game Off.
Okay, what's your Game Off?
Game Off, boots with the fur, ladies.
Oh,
should I get them apple bottom jeans? Boots with the fur.
I don't know who told you that this was appealing to men, but they were wrong. Not, I'm going to go out there and say that not a lot of guys have a sexual fetish about Clydesdales.
I broke up with a chick because of these boots.
I think it's a situation proximity thing. Okay, I don't think the Midwestern... We talked about St. Louis's issues earlier.
Right.
I don't think Midwestern people understand the trends and fads the rest of the nation is playing with.
Yeah, but we're also not Eskimos.
Because we are not at the cutting edge of when they're happening. You see, like, when iPhones become popular in New York, that's 8 months before St. Louis will ever catch on. When Boots with the Fur is becoming a hit song and things are going cool in L.A., that's 8 months before it's going to get here. And so by the time the St. Louis people jump on the trends, they are literally almost a year completely out from when the trend ended. And that's just ridiculous.
This trend started in the movie Dumb and Dumber with Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels, okay? This isn't a trend. Nobody likes Star Wars that much that they want their wife to have Chewbacca feet. I just don't. I don't see that.
It's ridiculous.
I don't want to date the barbarian from WWF circa late 80s.
I understand.
There was a chick that I dated, this girl in high school, and she was like, oh, I just got these new white boots, and they got the fur at the top and down the front of them. And I'm like, you ever wear those around me, I'll punch you in the face.
Yeah.
And she
wore them around me, and I was like, I need you to get in the car and go.
So instead, he just put her face first into the carpet and rubbed her face.
Rug burn on her face. All right, my Game On this week is actually really cool. I think both of you guys should pay attention. Everybody out there should pay attention because I've got two Game Ons. But they were watched back-to-back, and I loved both of them a lot. Okay? The first one is a documentary called Schooled, The Price of College Sports. And it is amazing. It literally talks about the entire idea of why a football team in college or sports teams in college should get paid to their give pay to their players or not give pay to their players, and all the sides to it and the individuals that are involved on the background of this, who the big players are. Arian Foster plays a major part in this movie, talking about that just a little tidbit for you, okay? He explains that he plays a game, I think it's against Georgia or one of those schools, one of the big SEC schools, because he played at Tennessee, if I remember correctly.
He did.
And he's like, there were 107,000 people in the stands. at the game that day. All of them paid $40+ for tickets to get to this game. I went out, busted my tail for 2.5 hours, signed about 200 autographs afterwards, did interviews with different TV stations and national sports networks and all that, turned around, me and the three dudes that were living together in our apartment got back. There was nothing in the refrigerator. We had no food. I had to call my coach. He came down illegally, because this is against NCAA regulations. He went and bought us each 10 tacos from Jack in a Box and brought them, like 50 tacos, and said, here's dinner tonight. Like, it's that serious for some of these kids, because all they do is get up at 5 o'clock in the morning. They work out. They go to classes. They train more. Then they go to the practice field. Then they work out some more. Then they do study hall and all that. Before you know it, they start at 5:30, they end at midnight, and they go to sleep and start to do it all over again, and they never have time for a job.
Well, see, that's my biggest thing with the whole Reggie Bush situation in 2005. They said Reggie Bush was given a car or something like that, but, you know, this kid was a Heisman Trophy winner. He was a national champion 2 times, and these kids are there, and that's what they are at that time. They're kids, and they're exploited. Do you know what that's called in some places? It's called the child labor laws.
Well, no. Actually, there is a wide receiver for one of the colleges who did his senior. It's in the documentary. Who did
is
his?
Is this on Netflix, by the way?
Yes, this is on Netflix. Perfect. So check it out. It's on Netflix.
Watch it.
He did his senior thesis on the idea of players in college sports and how they're treated and this, that, and the other. And he literally breaks it down against the idea and definition of indentured servitude, just like a slave.
Wait a minute. And I'm sorry. I'm going to come on the other end. What about their $230,000 education that they're getting? If you take a contract for that much money, I mean, yeah, it's not going to hit league minimums of the NFL. But these kids aren't just getting nothing for it. They're getting an education at, $230,000+ plus books. You can't convince me that they don't have some kind of meal plan. I'm not really jumping on board. I think that their families, if they're going to use their name and likeness, maybe the family should get something. But that individual student, maybe in a perfect world, give them a little bit of something.
Well, we just had this situation with Johnny Football this past season. Yeah. Where in between seasons, like before this college season started, he had the situation where he went to some place and he started signing autographs
right.
for people. And a few people, I guess, gave him money in exchange for the autographs. Like, he didn't ask for the money, but they, like, offered it up. They were like, man, you're just an amazing player. Thank you for the autograph. And gave him, like, $10 or something like that. And before you knew it, all of a sudden, like, he's, like, this, like, pariah for the entire organization of the right. NCAA, because he is just outlandishly going against all of our rules. And he's, even though he's a Heisman Trophy winner, he's a successful football player.
For every guy who does that maybe it seems unfairly judged, there's going to be a guy that, if he's allowed to do that, that's going to go out there and purposely sell autographs. And he's going to push it to the limit. And that's the same thing if you start paying him anything.
There's a regulation that should be put on.
All I wanted to say is that Schooled, The Price of College Sports, is a really cool documentary. It's on Netflix. If you get a chance, check that bad boy out. Now, on the back end of that, after that was over, I was looking for something else to watch. I caught this thing called Deceptive Practices, The Mysteries and Mentors of Ricky Jay. Now, if you don't know who Ricky Jay is, Ricky Jay is a world-famous illusionist and magician who's actually in movies. He was in The Prestige. He's in in the movie Boogie Nights as one of the producers on screen, you know, that works with... he's a famous actor who does acting, but he's also the most well-known and respected illusionist next to David Copperfield, and his name is Ricky Jay. He's really well known. If you see his face, you know exactly who he is. Anyway, he grew up in a family that had this background in magic, and he talks about some of the legendary great magicians and shows you some of their tricks that he learned from them.
Right.
Specifically, this guy is amazing. Like, this is that stuff where you're like, Chris Angel's cool. But when you see a guy like Ricky Jay just being a normal guy in a business suit, but he gets out there, he entertains the crowd properly, he's doing these magic tricks, and you can't tell. Like, you just can't see it. And you go, yeah, I get it, Chris Angel. I get it. Some of you guys, you're really good. This is a guy who's honest, though. Like, it's not like, you know, David Blaine, he's always trying to do some massive thing. Like, no, he's willing to just stand on stage and do magic tricks for you. But they are, like, some of the coolest card magic tricks and stuff like that. So, if you get a chance, you should check out Deceptive Practices, The Mysteries and Mentors.
I want him to do a documentary on the Magic Man.
I'll film and shoot that one. We'll put it on Netflix.
I'm sure the Magic Man
is going to be a lot more
fascinating. If you get a chance, ask Magic Man about Ricky Jay. He probably knows him very well. He probably loves him.
They probably drank some whiskey together.
It's possible. My game off is Bluetooth earpieces. Okay, I'm done. Listen. Stop it. I'm not trying to get racist here by any means whatsoever, but this seems to be a heavily African-American and black cultural issue that is going on right now. I can't walk through Walmarts or other stores without seeing a majority of black people. And I'm not knocking black people for this, because white people had the problem too about 5 years ago. They got off of it. It's time for black people to get off this too. You need to stop. I got dirty looks because this lady was talking on her Bluetooth earpiece. Listen, sir, first off, most of the ones you're using nowadays with the whole in your ear and then it comes down to like the mouthpiece in front, I know it sounds better. It looks ridiculous. And I need you to stop doing that. Bluetooth earpieces are great for in your car. Leave them in your car. That's why your phone has a speaker on it. Like, it rings, you go, hello? You can still walk around and touch shirts, and you can still, like, grab milk and put it into a, like, yeah, you don't need the Bluetooth earpiece.
I like when they talk and you like answer them, because clearly
you don't know.
And then they look at you like you're crazy, even though that ear's on the other side.
That's what we were talking about when Bolt Brady and them were here. When the video, this guy did a viral video that went really popular a few weeks ago. Basically, he goes to places where people are on their cell phones, because he found out by going to a lot of like airports that he noticed there was always people that would just get on their cell phones and talk really loud while they're waiting for planes. So his thing was, he would take his cell phone, even though he's not talking to anyone, put it up to his ear, sit next to them, and answer the questions that they're asking. And then while they're talking, they start noticing and going like, dude, what's your deal, man? Like, why are you doing that? Like, and like, he's like, oh, no, I'm just on my own conversation over here. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Excuse me, sir. I'm more important than you. Could you please leave me alone?
Like, it's just one of those things. And then the one guy gets up. Like, I'll show it to you. If we can get one of these computers, like, I'll show it to you. This one guy gets up and literally moves multiple seats. He gets up and moves multiple seats, too.
He's like, oh, I get better reception from here.
It's hilarious. It's amazing. So, please, stop with the Bluetooth earpieces, all of you. I don't care what your color is. I'm noticing it in black culture, but all cultures. Stop with the Bluetooth earpieces. You can have them. My dad has one. Just keep it in your car. By the way, most cars, newer ones, they already have Bluetooth built into the radio speakers and stuff. Just use that, okay?
I think there's a huge problem with that in Lithuanians, too. And I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to seem racist either.
When you were on your flying reality tour in Lithuania.
Could you please stop it with the Bluetooth?
I have a really cool Bluetooth that actually is like stereo with little buds. Goes around your neck. Pop one in, you know, while you're at the gym. That's what I use at the gym.
Yeah, you could use it and do CrossFit.
While I do CrossFit.
Yeah.
That's great. That's amazing. Now, Bobby, I normally would let you do your game on, game off right now.
Okay.
But I'm going to save it for overtime. Ooh, I bet it's really good, but we don't have a lot of time here.
We're up against it.
And we're going to have to cut this a little short here, but ladies and gentlemen, after the show is over, please listen. If you downloaded this specifically, you got to wait till the download loads up. But if you listen to this specifically, by the way, we're having problems with our iTunes feed. I'm trying to get that fixed right now.
Okay.
Evidently, it's not pulling the shows from the website right now, and I don't know why that is. So I've got to figure out a way to fix that issue.
Okay.
But beyond that little issue right there, I want to let everybody know, if you listen to go to theqnow.com, download the show after the end credits play, which they're getting ready to play here in just a second. That's where you're going to listen to Overtime. And let me tell you something. Overtime, well, that's where it's at. It's always there. I also want to thank Dan Walsh for being on the show today, man.
I would like to thank you guys for having me.
No, Dan, we really appreciate you coming on the show for multiple weeks like you did. And I think that that's really cool that you did that. So thank you so much for being in here. Also, don't forget to check out theqnow.com, radiofubar.com, as well as tapdetroit.com, respectively. Each week they replay the show. Check out their schedule sections, and then you can find out where the show is being played. I also want to thank KYRO, 1280 AMM, as well as 1420 WINI. Bobby?
I just wanted to say, if you guys have any themes for us, go to the Q Now, contact us. And if you would like to get this show on your radio station in your local city, check us out. Or if you have something you would like to advertise with us, make sure you send us a little message there, theqnow.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on the show. On behalf of Dan Walsh, as well as producer Bobby, my name is Mark Bland. This has been The Q. Stay tuned. Overtime is coming up. No, you can't. and gentlemen, welcome back to Overtime. That's right, Mark Bland along with Dan Walsh, Walking Reality Dan Walsh, the Danimal as we like to call him, professional wrestler and entertainer extraordinaire, and producer Bobby sitting here who's getting ready to do his game ons, game offs that we had to save for overtime specifically because they were that amazing.
Damn good.
That's right, baby. And as you know, on overtime, we are a little bit looser with the language, so if you got children in the car or anywhere else that you're listening to this, hey, don't play it out loud because we might say some words that they don't need to hear. You fucking understand? Okay, now.
I just need to figure out how in the hell I get two names attached to mine, because Dan gets pro wrestling and entertainment extraordinaire.
Right.
It's producer Bobby.
Yeah, that's what your job is, man. You're producer Bobby.
But I want two fucking names.
And you didn't even really produce anything today. Let me tell you something.
Hey,
you
produced nothing. Today you should be called Computer Virus Bobby. Bobby,
let me air this out a little bit, okay? I love Bobby. Bobby has been one of the best additions to my show since I've ever had radio show, okay?
Yeah.
And he's a fantastic, talented man. Now, my problem that I have with Bobby is that literally between the day we record and the next day that we record is a week. In that time period, I never hear from Bobby. I don't talk to Bobby. He does it. First off, he's supposed to CC me in on certain radio related stuff. He never CCs me in on any of it. I just hit him up out of the complete blue the day before we're supposed to record. I'm like, did you talk to so-and-so? Yeah, I think so. Or no, well, they didn't hit me up. Well, and then like, then I'll be like, hey, you need to produce the show up for tomorrow. We gotta set up some stuff. Do you have anybody? Nope, not really called anyone anything. No. I'm just like, okay, at what point I do is, are you doing your job?
Here's what I do. But before I CC you in, I make the initial contact.
Okay, fair
then,
enough.
You know, when it starts getting into the information that you need to know, because, right. I mean, I'm just fucking sending an email to somebody saying, hey, my name's Bobby, producer.
I don't knock you for it. I'm just saying. I know, it's just funny.
He's the filter.
Basically. And at some point, we never talk other than the days that we're on the show together.
No. And I will give you this. We don't talk. We don't talk as much as we used to. I was really busy during the holiday season, and that was my fault.
I get that.
That was my fault. But now things have slowed down, and we need
to... Don't people realize that Radio Shack is overpriced?
Go
Why are they going there?
You know what? Whenever I look at Bobby working, and he's just like surfing the net like vigorously to find whatever resources we need, I just can't help to wonder how much porn this man can view at one time.
He's got a lot. He says he has a porn addiction. He actually says he has a porn addiction.
I do. No. Like,
not a joke.
Like, what a normal person's porn addiction, like, Bobby probably just fucking trumps that. Like, he's like, what? You only view one screen at one time? One time I had a mixed collage of sounds from like 8 different porn stars. Like, technically, if you put it all together, the genre would be school teacher has an orgy with an African tiger and
I do, though, for real. Like, it's, you know, I try not to do it at work. I have before. Not on my computer at work. That's why I have a smartphone. And that's why I have an iPad. I view it from there. But
you might not want to put certain information out on the show. Let's just put it that way. Okay.
We're gonna move forward. If you're going to look at that porn at work, what do you do about it? Because I'm a man of action.
Yeah.
Okay? So I got to be at home.
Bobby's just joking, ladies and gentlemen. He doesn't do any of those things at work.
He just does it in the car while he's driving.
So game on, game off. Yes. Bobby, you have a game on and game off that you wanted to throw out there. So please hit us up with your game on.
All right. My game on is a great book. Mm-hmm. It's called Bobby Scout.
Bobby Scout.
And
is it about Boy Scouts and like the Scout leaders that potentially molest them?
No. It's a great book called Bobby Scout. The author is really awesome.
Bobby. He's a scout.
No. The author actually
here's what he does.
Actually is Koba.
Really?
Our friend Koba.
All right.
And this is a book about three friends. The book has actually been published. It's on Amazon.com.
Okay.
I got a copy of it. I've read it. It actually is in a really cool book.
Koba has been on the show before. He's a really good friend of the show. And as you read the book, do you read it like Borat? Do you be like, the boys are going to the woods.
They get there and not tying a badges.
Actually, I can't help but read it in Koba's voice when I read the book. But the whole premise of the book is it's three friends, and we're all from different parts of the world.
I want you to do it like Dan Walsh just did it.
It's three friends, and we're from different parts of the world, and we come together, and we fight the crime, and we go back in time.
We cook at the pasta, and we play at the
with
Mario
the cannolis, with the cannolis.
With the cannolis.
And we make sex with the ditties. My sister, she's number four prostitute.
That's Yadka.
We only drink the finest vodka.
We get a little bit of drunk. A little bit. And then start a fire.
So, Koba from the show, he's got a book called Bobby Scout. You can find it on Amazon.com.
Yeah, it's really cool, though. It is a really good book. And I am one of the characters in the book.
All right. That's why you're Bobby Scout? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Way to put yourself over. You got to check this book out because I'm in it.
I'm in it very much.
I just talk like
yes,
this.
Yes, that's my number two. Storyline, character, and producer Bobby.
All right, we go.
That's my number two.
All right.
Game off. Mm-hmm. Soda flavored blank.
Soda flavored blank? Anything that's soda flavored?
I am fucking tired.
Give me an example. Like bubblegum?
I went and bought peanuts and bubblegum, and they had Dr. Pepper, Orange Crush, and grape crush flavored gum.
Okay.
Get this shit out of here.
What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. It's just like, that's
if I want soda, I get it out of a damn bottle or a fountain and drink it.
Soda probably just tastes like orange bubble gum always has. Like
I just think soda is such a fascist that it tries to impose its ways on my bubble gum, and that just pisses me off. I'm with it, Bobby. Fuck you, soda. You'll never own me.
Screw you, soda.
You tried to make me taste you, and I chewed the bubble gum, you motherfucker.
Oh, Jesus.
Sorry.
Dan Walsh just destroyed the studio. No.
But it just pisses me off. I'm trying to get bubble gum and it's fucking Dr. Pepper flavor. I'm trying to get some ice cream the other day and it tastes like Coca-Cola. Like, just stop with the shit. Just if I want ice cream, I want ice cream. If I want bubble gum, I want it to taste like bubble gum. Quit trying to put other crap in it.
All right, fair enough. Mm. All right, good game on, good game off.
Thank you.
I like it. I like it a lot.
He got really very angry nice. Again.
Well, I think it is now time for us to.
The bubble gum.
Is Dr. Dan here?
Dr. Dan is right here. Let me put my doctor hat on. And
Dr.
I'm gonna do this
Dan
well.
Is back.
That's a big hat.
Little bit for everybody out there that doesn't know. I used to do an advice column as a part of the show, and every once in a while I throw it in there. You know, I do the advice at the end of the show. But I used to pick them up off the internet, different places and stuff like that. And eventually, the spot became so popular on the show that people started actually sending me actual advice questions that they wanted answered. And it actually turned from just advice to just general questions. The show became popular enough to where people just cared about wanting to hear what I had to say. So I still to this day get lots of advice questions and stuff like that, and I like to share it with my guests and everybody who are in the studio because I think we can help these people out.
We're gonna correct some minds right now.
That's what we're gonna do.
Let's rug burn.
So here we go. Let's start off. Mark, I despise my ex-wife. She really is a piece of work, and I am dealing with something I need some advice on. Earlier this week, my ex-wife put my number on Craigslist as a gay fashion designer needing a one-night stand. I only figured it out when I got a text from an unknown number asking me when was the last time I ate the black anaconda. Needless to say, I was completely thrown for a loop. I called the individual and asked why he would text me that, and then he explained the entire Craigslist situation. I was furious. I knew it was my ex, and when I called her, she just started laughing uncontrollably. So now I need to know if I should play hardball and get her back, or if I should take things and make this a legal matter. What do you think?
You like it, the big black dick.
You like it, the anaconda.
You like it the way the big black dick tastes.
I got the Bobby Scouts right here.
I read the book,
and then you take the thing.
Oh God, man, that's
Some. First off, you got a hardcore bitch wife right there, man.
I know.
If she's going out of her way to put your number on Facebook or on Craigslist, and then as a gay fashion designer looking for some pee,
it'd be different if she's trying to get you some work, dude.
Bro, like, I'll design
a shirt for you in like 3 days, but
you can't even be mad at her because that's fucking awesome.
Like, no, it's not.
That is hilarious.
Hey, unless you're the one receiving the black anaconda. I mean, in his case.
Have you ever received the black anaconda? Let's just ask.
There was this one time on the Real World Challenge.
That's one animal that I don't ever wish to tame. And no, I've never taken the black anaconda. And unless I have a felony in my future, I don't think I ever will.
You have put a boa around your neck, though.
Oh, my God, yeah. And it almost killed me.
That's crazy, dude.
It is. It's on YouTube if anyone wants to laugh at me almost getting choked out by a boa constrictor.
Dan Walsh boa constrictor. Search that up.
Yeah, and like the funniest part is the girl who has to come rescue me is Cara Maria from the challenges, and she's all about a buck 20.
She's cutie.
And she has to come save me from her big bad snake. And the funniest part is I called it. I kept saying, I don't want to do this. And it's almost like the snake's like, wait till they turn around. I'm gonna fucking choke you.
I'm gonna fuck your world.
She put me in a bag all day in Casey, Illinois.
Squeezing your neck.
I'm a snake, and I know this place is fucking shifty. All right? Like, no, what I want to know.
It was cool when they did it to Damien. Yeah. It's not cool with me.
What happened? I want to know what this guy did because that takes a whole other level
of
creativity.
Well, it is an ex-wife, so they are divorced. Obviously, it was not a very pleasant breakup.
Yeah.
Or divorce by any means. If she's still doing this stuff and your ex is already.
What if she? What if the reason that she divorced him is because he was sleeping with black men?
That's very
because funny. In that case, she's not even really a bitch. She's just trying to help you out.
She's just trying to get you a little extra black anaconda.
You should be like, thank you very much, and then start designing shirts.
Yeah, good point. I would say in this case, oh man, to take this a legal way would be kind of pithy. Since you're already divorced and it's an ex thing, I just get her back or just not care.
You're not going to get anything for it. What are you going to sue her? And they're going to slap her on the wrist and you're going to pay, what, $700+ to make it? It's not even worth
it. It's not worth your time, man.
And you, I mean, it's not like someone showed up at your door and actually gave you the anaconda. They just, you know, and everybody's
that would have made it better.
I'm just saying.
Could you explain, sir, why you're poking me in the butt with your big black cock?
Sir,
I found you on Craigslist and then you let me in.
Well,
oh, okay,
we were sitting there and my friend.
Yes.
Yeah, it was very nice.
I would say, man, I mean, that's it, like, I'm almost baffled on how what degree of hatred or mental instability that they have to. I mean, it is. It's borderline genius. That's why. I mean,
it is.
I know as a guy, I'm supposed to be like, dude, she's such a bitch. But like, think about that from an outsider's perspective. Like, if she did it to your buddy, that's pretty funny.
Like, you can't really go to your friends and be like, dude, like they're gonna make fun of you forever.
No, you got it. What you got to do is you got to find an even
yeah, you
sicker
can't bring
description.
This up. You can't bring this up.
You've got it. Yeah, you've got to like you got to get on Craigslist, and then
what you need to do is go to the misconnection section, find the oddest, most weird misconnection, and then just say it's you.
You know
and
what
just...
you need to do? We need to put her in contact with that with the boyfriend of that woman that wrote us last week,
and
then let him hit her from behind and rub her face into the carpet.
Speaking of that, here's my next letter. So I heard your show last week and was laughing at the hilarious and awkward first time situation you talked about, which is why I am writing. I have a weird boyfriend problem and need advice. I want you to know I do love my boyfriend. I recently found out that the new iPhone I was given on my birthday was only given to me so he could use the Find My Phone function to make sure he knew I was always am where I say I'm at. So I consider this being stalked by my own boyfriend of over a year. What should I do? I like him a lot and don't want the relationship to end, but I can't have him watching me all creepy-like.
Turn the fucking thing off!
Yeah, you could turn
All you gotta do is get into the settings and turn Find My iPhone off.
What you gotta do.
I'm just interested to find out how the conversation came down there. He's like, by the way, I gave you that phone so I could, like, watch you on GPS.
Maybe, you know what, does he work for the NSA? Because this could be completely reasonable. Also, if he is going to do that and he's going to track, you need to just go to really weird places.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, and then come home and act oblivious to it. Like, go down to, like, what's that bondage gay bar?
Novax?
Yeah. Start going to Novax. And it, no, do weird stuff. Go, like, Novax and then Walgreens. And then, like, just weird
just
places.
Start using it
so
to
that
your
when
advantage.
He, like, looks up, he's just like, I don't even know if I should be fucking mad. I don't even, like, show up at Lucas and Han at 4:30 in the morning. Like, just,
yeah,
I mean, things
point.
That would scare him, and maybe he will turn the device off himself because he just doesn't want to, he doesn't want to think about it. I'm going to be with, if you love him, and, I mean, you did. You know what you like. That is a very, very severe degree of distrust that he would want to track you. You do what you got to do. I mean, if you love him, you love him. Maybe you like it a little bit that he's watching you.
Maybe.
You know? Maybe is that what it could be? Because, hey, to each their own.
Yeah, but I would say just turn the phone function off and make it easy.
Sounds like she likes a carpet burn.
Whoa. Yeah. All right. All right. I got two more here. I don't know if you ever do medical advice, but here goes. I woke up yesterday with a headache. My girlfriend said it might be from the night before, explaining she punched me while I was sleeping because I was snoring in her ear and that she dreamed a bee was attacking her. So should I be more concerned with the punching me for no good reason, or that it didn't faze me in the least and I didn't wake up from it?
This is a medical thing because your fucking girlfriend is wacky.
Bro, she punched you in the face in a dead sleep and you didn't wake up from it? That's an issue, man.
Dude,
you need to get that looked at.
No, I mean, you know what? There's times that I've woken up and like my ribs have hurt and like my head hurts.
Have you ever had one of those women who like sleep wildly? Like literally, like they're dead asleep, but they're like all over the place.
I'm very self-aware of what I do wrong. I just assume she was beating the shit out of me in my sleep for something I did earlier that day.
I get hit by my wife, but I snore. And like she has a way to try to get me to stop snoring that I guess has worked for many years. And the only time I get punched or kicked literally is if she tries her patented technique and it doesn't work, then it's literally into the middle of my back, like a hard punch.
But it works.
It wakes me up, and I stop snoring.
So here's something you got to ask yourself, too. The dream that she has, is it always consistently the same dream that she's telling you?
She's getting attacked by bees?
Yeah, just these fucking bees won't leave me alone. I'm sleeping, man. I just got to...
bees!
It's the bees. It's not even me.
I was out with Bobby Scout in the woods.
Yeah, dude, next thing you know, you're going to be going to work with bruises on your face, and they're going to be like, what happened? You're like, she got attacked by bees. And they'll be like, sure, you need to go to a shelter.
All right, here's the last one. I am a 20-year-old college student, and I am struggling with money at the moment. We already ran out twice previously, and I had to pay for both of those times. I was running low on my bank account, and we were standing in line to get something to eat. I asked if she would mind paying for herself. She flipped out on me and told me that it's always the man's responsibility to pay for the girl no matter what, and told me that she took the time to get ready for this date to look pretty, so I should be obligated to pay for her.
That's bullshit.
I decided to pay, and we continued our date, but it was very awkward after that. I do not think that I want to see her again because she seems quite selfish and close-minded. Do you think I was wrong?
Yeah, this is bullshit. It's 2014. Like,
I think it's so funny how women are all about chivalry whenever it financially benefits them. But the minute that you tell them that they shouldn't do something like, oh, yeah, you shouldn't be a police officer, shouldn't. Women can do everything that men can do. Well, obviously, you can't pay for your fucking food. So, that, I mean, there's a difference there.
Obviously, you can't.
Like, I mean, okay, was this the first date?
I think so.
Can you offer a big black anaconda?
I, in her defense, man, I mean, first date, you need to... I mean,
no, I think he said the third one.
Oh, third date?
Yeah, I think he said that he paid the first two times. His bank account was running low. Yeah,
we already went out twice previously, and I had to pay for both of those times. Yeah.
Yeah, you need to, A, just be like, hey, first off, you don't look that pretty, so I'm going to deduct the money for
but
your
you
meal.
Need to
fuck
get,
by the third time.
I told Megan I wasn't
listen,
paying.
Listen, if you're going to like make that move, which is probably going to kill off that relationship, you need to go for the gusto all the way. You might as well try to get her in the bag, try to get her in a sack, and then drop her to bomb.
Why don't you just meet women at a kegger like normal college kids do? All right? Is that a way? All you got to do is buy them Waffle House one time, and you get what you want out of it.
Good point. All right. I got some questions from the listeners. We're going to do a round of questions, and then we're going to get out of here on overtime. What opinion of yours makes you an a-hole? What opinion of yours that you like use or have makes you an a-hole?
I have an opinion that when you get married, the women, cool.
Polygamy.
The polygamists. By the way, funny tweet or Facebook. The woman should and must take the man's last name.
Okay.
Are
you an asshole about it though?
Like, yeah. I got into fucking knockdown, drag out.
I guess it makes you. The question is, makes you an asshole?
Because in the Bible. You know, being a Christian, growing up, and you know, with the Bible being read to me.
So you are definitely not hyphenating nothing.
No. Nope. Because in the Bible, it says that a man and woman will give themselves wholeheartedly to each other.
What's Megan's original last name?
I don't fucking even remember. I'm just kidding. Because
it doesn't matter.
Combs Hickman. She could have been Combs Hickman.
No.
The Hickman wouldn't have.
No.
I mean, that.
Because the woman gives herself wholeheartedly to the man. That's what it says in the Bible.
Okay. Well, she did give you her whole heart. So therefore, you don't have
her
name
womb,
was not at all
her
name.
Womb and a couple
she,
other
she,
things.
She had kids and shit.
Yeah,
too,
like
man.
Like I the womb is like that, but the name is not the heart. Is my point? Like she did give you her heart.
No. The woman to give herself wholeheartedly, meaning give herself and everything about her to the man.
Bobby, she allowed you to have sex with her.
Yeah,
okay?
That's true.
I mean she allowed you to.
But I'm fucking sexy.
Hold on. I'm not trying to be rude to Bobby. I love him. He's a big dude. People out there don't understand. He's lost quite a bit of weight, and he's doing good. But at times over the last few years, you're a big dude. For okay? real?
Yeah.
At some point in your history with this girl, you said, yeah, I'm going to get on top. And she was like, wait a second, I might die. Mm-hmm. She, I'm just being honest. Like,
that's a valid point.
You might have killed her.
She almost she gave her life for you. She
definitely gave you wholeheartedly, okay?
Most men said they got the bigger dicks. I got the bigger belly.
And it's the black anaconda, Megan.
She gave herself to you whole vaginally, too. Yeah. So...
Three times.
What makes you an a-hole?
All right, Dan? So is it what you'll become an asshole about?
No, an opinion that you have that you keep, that you maintain, that a lot of people just look at you and go, God, you're such a jerk, a chauvinistic asshole, or whatever. It doesn't matter.
A chauvinistic asshole?
It could be anything. No, it could be anything.
Okay,
asshole.
First off, anyone who knows me knows that I have a huge heart and I'm a very loving person, but at some degree, I can become extremely unforgiving.
Okay.
One of which is, and I brought this up, in the cases of welfare,
okay.
I think for people, I have no problem in saying that if a person has a child knowing that they are in financial, you know, strain and they go out and do it anyways, that either A, the child should be taken, or B, they should have to live with the effects of what that child does, because in nature, the lion learned to protect her cubs because she didn't protect one well enough.
Right.
And that's a horrible way to look at it, but I think that we are losing our self of response, our source of responsibility as people, and that's one thing that drives me nuts. I think I know people who have done this. If you don't have money, I mean, it's okay that if you're down and you need a little bit of help, but if you have a kid on top of that, like, you're pretty much saying fuck you to everybody in society that does their part.
Yeah.
And so I can go from being a nice person to meeting someone like that and literally having
asshole,
like a fuck you mentality.
You,
like,
are
I don't even
such
I don't even want to talk to you.
What a fucking asshole.
I am a fucking asshole. I'm sorry. Take responsibility for your own penis and vagina. Oh, I'm a fucking dick.
All right. So
I do like that one, though.
The one that makes me an asshole is basically there's a couple that I hold on to. One of them that I hold on to actually affects a lot of people. Okay. And this one really gets me. I don't mind saying it on the show because I'm a very open person and I'm willing to accept your tweets at Mark Bland, MarkBland. Okay. Join the line of people that don't like me. Like I said, I got into a Twitter war with 900 conservatives earlier on the show.
Very Twitter savvy, these conservatives.
900 of them, okay? I think that a person who maintains a job that has a certain salary structure to it needs to have a degree. I'm sick, and I mean this, and I'm not... I have good friends. I mean, really good friends that I love to death, and they know I love them to death. I'd do anything for them. But I have good friends that they got their GEDs. They didn't even finish high school. Some of these guys are making $40 an hour in a trade. Hammer nails, fixing plumbing, doing whatever they're doing, which is work. It's work.
Right.
I'm not saying, but $40 an hour and you don't even have a degree. I showed personally that I have the resilience to go responsibly on my own for years on end to learn a trade, to learn at the highest level possible and effectively pass all the tests that they gave me. And there are people just like me. They can't get a job right now. But this guy over here with a GED, he knows how to hammer a couple of nails. He knows how to, like, lay some pipe. He knows how to put some roofing tiles on. He's making $40 an hour. And if I try to go get those jobs, they'll pass me up because they don't think that I fit the protocol or the type of person that deserves that type of a job.
So what about in this instance?
So what makes me the asshole is I have this belief and opinion that I think to get a job of a certain stature financially, you should have to have a degree. And I'm not talking about doctors and lawyers and stuff like that. I'm talking about basic jobs, too. I'm talking about just, like, regular jobs.
Does trade school count? Like guys who go into the union where they have to put them through schooling 3 years and years and years, and they actually have it removed from their paycheck.
I don't mind that, and that's fine. I give leniency on that. That's fine. But there are a lot of people that never happened.
Yeah.
They never did go to those trade schools or something. Not everybody's in a union.
Yeah.
And they're working for companies that don't have unionized background, and they're literally making $40 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy like me will walk in, and they'll be like, well, you're a big dude, and this, that, and the other, but do you have any experience in carpentry? No, I don't. Well, then you can't have a job here. Oh, I can't have a job? That guy could barely even pass high school. Like, I don't understand what made you go, God, I want him.
So, like, it's a statement of discipline that someone showed dedication to.
Exactly. I hate that. I hate that. So
I can't fix shit. So I'm with you on that.
What memory do you have of your childhood that still makes you angry today? A memory from your childhood that to this day just burns you up. Man, it's a tough. This was a tough one for me.
Wow.
I have a memory of a specific situation when I was a kid. Well, I was actually a sophomore in high school. A friend of mine who passed away a few years ago. He was a black gentleman by the name of Vinny. That was his nickname. We called him Vinny. And Vinny and me. He was a freshman in high school, and I was a sophomore. And we were walking home together. And it was during the off season. I did cross country in the fall, and I did basketball in the winter, and I did tennis, but there was a couple years there I didn't do basketball in the winter. So it was during the off season. I was walking home with Vinny. We lived on the same street, four houses away from each other. On the way home, a couple of douchey kids that happened to be also freshmen, okay, with Vinny in his class, white kids, they decided to get really racist really fast, and they decided to challenge him, and I started to try to enter into the fight, and Vinny waved me off. He said, no, I'll take care of this. I can handle this on my own. And it was 2-on-1. And I'm standing right there, and I wanted to help my friend, but he waved me off. Literally, he's like, no, Mark, stay there. It was at a point in the fight where, like, he still had the ability to talk to me. And he's like, no, stay there. He wanted to handle this himself. Evidently, there was some real racial tension between him and this other individual. And this other guy jumped in with it because he was buddies with the other guy. So to this day, that makes me really angry. Because now in hindsight, Vinny's passed away. He's gone. And it really irks me to think back to that time because did I make the right decision? I did what he asked me to do. He was never mad at me for it. He didn't hold it against me. You know what I'm saying? But there was so much vitriolic, racist anger coming from these two white kids that I wanted to punch them in their face myself. So that still makes me really my blood boil to this day. I don't know whatever happened to those kids. It doesn't matter. Doesn't really matter. But do you got anything?
I have one, and this is and this really has stemmed to my current beliefs in certain things, and I think they have been jaded, and I'm kind of mad that this happened because me and this person actually, like, we resolved this. It just, the whole situation pisses me off.
Right.
I grew up in a Catholic school.
Okay.
And the Catholic school communities are, whatever they want to say to you, it's based on elitism. Certain people think they're better than others. Yep. They're going to talk
Saint
shit.
St. Sabina was a bitch school. That's
yeah,
all I'm
like
say.
So anyways, long story short.
Where'd you go?
I went to Sacred Heart.
Okay.
My parents.
I like Sacred Heart because of where it was.
My
right across
parents,
from Handel's Market.
Yeah, Handel's, dude.
Shit.
When I was a kid, my parents never sheltered us. We were very much aware of things in the adult world that most kids weren't. While they were
faces of death, pornos, rubbing your face into the ground.
They were, and all these other kids were getting sheltered and stuff, and that's fine. They're trying to keep their kids from it, whatever. So I had knowledge of certain things that most kids
didn't, right? No, you can't watch Gremlins 2.
So I of course, the kids knew about it. They knew about things that I did that maybe were a little bit more advanced for them.
Okay.
And so one of my friend's mom was also the gym teacher. And I started to learn that she was talking with all the other parents and started telling all the other parents about how screwed up my family was and how I was on drugs in seventh grade.
The gym teacher was saying this stuff?
Yep.
Whoa.
And she told, like, just all this shit about me. And, like, basically I found out about it and I was angry. And I got mean with her and she kind of kept trying to, like, hey, listen, don't talk to me like that. And it was just... it was something that was so infuriating. And what pisses me off more about it is parents, okay, maybe I did know stuff that, like, other kids didn't and I shouldn't have, but I always caught undertones that I felt that, like, I was the bad kid, that okay. I was the kid that was the bad influence. And meanwhile, let's fast forward years later and let's look what I did with my life. And not, I love some of my friends, don't get me wrong, but a lot of them were the ones who had criminal paths and everything
right,
else.
Right.
So her as a teacher... in this community that's supposed to be based off of love and the study of the Bible, is this authority figure talking shit about a kid who's in seventh grade to all the parents.
Yeah.
And it's not one of those things where, like I said, I went on and me and this kid, we were fine, and me and his mom were fine, and I just kind of accepted it for what it was. But to this day, anybody I know that is in the Catholic community or have kids in that school or whatever, I hear stories, and it flashes me back to that. And it just pisses me off to all high heavens. And I think now I have kind of a bitterness towards the Catholic institution off of that, off of the judgmentalism, off of what was allowed to happen, and how everyone just thought that that was acceptable. And I love my parents, and I have great parents, and I'm sorry. I think me, my brother and sister all grew up just fine. Because and just, I hate that you're supposed to accept, but because we were different, they shit on us and talk trash about us. We were never, I mean, we had friends, and don't get me wrong, it wasn't like we were shunned, but that was my teacher. Are you kidding me? And that was allowed to happen. Right. And why didn't any other parents say, hey, you're the teacher. Are you
serious?
You shouldn't
be speaking like that about your children.
Yeah, and it was something that, like I said, I came to grips with. We were fine with it. I have no bitter feelings towards that person or anything, but just the fact that I know that
people still
do that shit, and they have no right, and people need to shut them up.
What do you got, Bobby?
My biggest thing was, I had friends. I was a Boy Scout in school, and I had friends that, my close-knit friends were the guys in that Boy Scout troop, and still to this day kind of bothers me the fact that when I got to high school and all the people made fun of me for being a Boy Scout and stuff like that, I shit on the whole thing, when I potentially could have used that to my advantage to get into a college, something like that. But I really shit on the whole thing because of the fact that I had to be cool and stuff like that, and I was getting made fun of for being a Boy Scout.
Okay, fair enough. All right, last question. Here we go. This should be definitely entertaining with Dan, okay? Because Dan, let's be honest, guys. Dan's not a bad-looking guy. You know what I'm saying? He's a pretty outgoing individual.
He's quite supple.
He's a lot like me, except for he's got way better looks, okay? And so I'm interested.
Very vascular arms, according to Mr. Hickman over
very
here.
Very vascular arms. What did the weird kid in your high school/middle school do to be considered the weird kid?
Okay. So,
what story makes him the weird kid?
There was a kid.
Now, we don't need no names.
Yeah, I won't say his name, but Mr.
You can say his first name. You can just say his first name.
Okay, Eric.
Okay.
Fuck, I shouldn't have done that because everybody's going to know who he is now. But Eric tried to play baseball with everybody else. Mm-hmm. And Eric is a very analytical person.
Okay.
And Eric is up to bat, and we can hear Eric as he's up to bat analyzing at what trajectory
the ball's going
to
come in.
He's got to swing the bat to be
46
able to
46 degrees northwest. He's going to throw it with a little bit of a curve, slide ball. And like the umpire's just sitting there going like, is he doing play-by-play?
Well, no. It was at practice, and the coach just was like, Eric, I don't think this is going to work. But he's up to bat. First off, walks up with the bat the wrong way.
Okay, all right.
And the whole time he's up there, he's just standing there, and he's like, if it comes in at this angle, I'm going to have to swing the bat in an upward angle to be able to hit the ball, and hopefully it goes at the correct angle, at the correct velocity and rate of speed. And it was, oh my God, it was fucking gold. And to this day, we still make fun of him and joke with him about playing baseball, because he actually went on to high school and became a very good baseball player.
Okay.
And played college ball and everything. But dude, in school it was so funny, and we all made fun of him, thought he was the weird kid.
You know what's really funny about that story is literally the weird kid is at bat at his college going, where's that fat bitch Bobby at right now?
Yeah.
Because my trajectory shit got me college.
Over the wall, motherfucker.
Over the wall. Mine was that there was this guy in school, and I can't even remember his name. I want to say it was Michael, but I could be completely off on that. He literally thought this is why he was the weird kid, okay? And I never had a problem with him on this, but I could see why everybody else did. He literally thought that he worked for the police department. He would dress in the blue shirt.
Are you kidding me?
He would actually hang the handcuffs on his side, and he would walk around. And in between classes, he would walk up and down the halls, analyzing the lockers and everyone doing it. If there was a problem with the locker, he'd be like, yes, miss, I can help you with that. And he'd be knocking on the doors and trying to open them up.
And the funny thing is, that motherfucker is the chief of police somewhere.
Probably. No. It was just hilarious. He would go to the Valley of Flowers, and he would walk around with the police officers. This is when you could have been an explorer's, and even they were looking down and going, no, you're good, dude.
Who the fuck is this kid?
He was, dude, seriously. No, by senior year, he graduated with me. This guy, I mean, he took it serious. My senior year, full out, same uniform as the high school security team. Yes. Same uniform. He had the name on the badge. It was the exact same color. He had the boots and everything. He'd wear it to school at least 2 to 3 times a week. Yeah, he was in there, dude.
That is so
it
awesome.
It was so awesome. It was very Napoleon Dynamite. I'm not gonna lie.
He is a general in the Army now.
He might be.
That or he's got his own dungeon full of kiddie porn somewhere.
All right, what's yours?
All right, here's two things I want to say because you actually just spurred up something that really pissed me off. I'm going to do two. All right, the first one, I'm going to go back on the thing that pissed me off, and I'm going to do it real quick. I had a priest when I was in 8th grade, and a girl had a crush on me for whatever reason, and we were picking teams for a sport, and I got picked on the one girl's team that was opposite of the girl that liked me. She got upset about it. That's fine. I had no part of this. I didn't choose. I didn't do anything. The priest grabbed me, walked me over, and basically started to berate me and tell me, who do I think I am, and all this shit. And this guy had done this to a few people, and he even said the words, "Listen, you little sons of bitches," to us at one point. And the fact that this guy was allowed to be a priest is just that pisses me off now when I think about it. Number two, because the other one really don't make me that mad because I really came to terms when we were all cool.
Right. Yeah.
But this one, that one heats my ass because you're supposed to trust those people.
Right.
Number two, I was not. I was kind of a geek in high school, so like I was not like people assume that I was like the like some people tell me, oh, you were cool. No, I was not. I was a geek. I was a geek in high school completely. But you're talking about the weird shit that people did. Okay, so.
Well, no, the goofy kid. Who's the weird kid, and what made him weird?
I was a fucking goofy kid.
But you might have been just like
I was a smart-ass goofy kid.
No,
we had a kid, and this is actually a pretty cool story, too, and I don't mean to be all, like, you know, philosophical or whatever, but there was a kid when I was in grade school, and he used to pick his nose and eat his boogers.
Okay.
And this kid caught hell so much. I mean, you talk about bullying. This kid got it, okay? And he got to a point where he hated everybody. You know, like, if we tried to talk to him, be nice to him, he'd be a dick to us, and then we'd get mean with
him
again.
Did he grow long hair, start listening to heavy metal?
Dude, he did. And then he leaves.
They always do.
He leaves, and he goes, well, we don't see him, all right? So I go to Hazelwood Central, my first, and this is a new school. I don't know anybody. I'm way out of my element. And I'm walking back to where I was supposedly staying at the time, and he goes to that school. So you would think that this guy had this moment of like, all right, motherfucker, it's me and you now. Nicest fucking guy in the world. Completely, like, would come up and talk to me. Like, and I'm like, the whole time I'm thinking, like, dude, we used to fuck with you for eating your boogers all the time. And, like, completely just nice as can be. So, like, it's kind of that whole full circle thing.
Right, yeah.
So he was weird for, like, eating his boogers and stuff. But, I mean, in the end, he wanted to be my buddy when I was a weird kid in high school. So there you go.
That's pretty awesome.
I would say so.
Sweet.
See, people bounce back.
Booger eater.
He did eat his boogers.
They do. They do bounce back.
But I think we all ate our boogers. It's just something we don't talk about.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for us here on Overtime. I want to thank Dan Walsh for being on the show today, as well as Overtime producer Bobby. You can follow him on Twitter at CCPapa.
S-I-P-O-P-P-A.
Also, Dan Walsh, who never checks his Twitter anyway.
No,
Dan Walsh, 83, right?
I'm going to tweet every day from now until the next time I'm on the show.
I don't think anybody believes you.
I'm going to tweet every day, and it's going to make no sense.
You can follow me at Mark Bland, M-A-R-K-B-L-A-N-D, or at The Q Now. Either way, we live tweet during the shows. Make sure you tell a friend or family member and everybody that you know about the show. We hope you enjoyed it, and we will see you guys next time on The Q. Yeah, I am the